You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Exactly. Bill yeah. Said, are you there, brother? Can you just say good day? Bill said, hello? I think we're having a problem with Velocet tonight, but anyway, look, that Ponicu, he, lovely guy, and anyone, I mean, who wouldn't want to live in Honolulu? What a lovely place to live, you know. He's a surfer. That's all he does. Surf and enjoys himself and looks, yes, at the bullshit we're told on the bloody mainstream media. Yeah.
So you guys been on the phone all night?
Oh yeah.
No. I've got on this afternoon. This evening.
Yeah. It's about 6 a.m. in Florida.
Wow.
I'm driving on my way to work. So I cool. I saw it in the.
You're doing an afternoon commute.
Morning
commute.
Break of dawn. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're also from Florida, original stimulant?
Pardon me?
You're also from Florida?
Yeah. You're from Florida, too?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I'm driving to Orlando right now, or Windermere, actually.
Okay, I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
So have you guys been to Disneyland and checked out the hidden tunnels?
I've been to Disney about a billion times. I've never seen any tunnels, but I know where. I've never seen any hidden tunnels, but I, you know, there's all these areas where the staff can access.
Yeah, for sure. I got into that. Oh God, 20 years ago, I remember reading about. Is it Club 33 or there's
Club
some
33?
There's some 33 club thing at Disneyland.
That's what they say. I've never seen it, but you know.
Apparently you got to look for it. You got to look for it. I've got the book. It's called Hidden Knowledge, or it was a book on suppressed information by a guy called Rusty. His name's Rusty, and this is pre-internet days. He used to put out a lot of stuff, you know, the underground magazines, and this magazine used to come up with a recipe for Coca-Cola and just hidden suppressed information. And they used to mention that you had to go and look for this place. It wasn't obvious, but it was there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking for it. Don't worry. Like, since I heard about it, I've been looking for it, too. But
oh, good.
Say Disney was a Mason, but I don't know. You know, they say all these people are Masons, but they, you don't see...
I don't think Disney was...
There's no lodge. When people are like a Mason, usually when they really are a Mason, every Mason belongs to a lodge, right?
Yeah.
There's no like Freemason that doesn't belong to a Masonic lodge. So usually a Mason, the lodge will, you know, claim who they are. They'll be like from Lodge 25 in Florida. You know, they'll
have you checked out old Freeman? Fly stuff on Masonic lodges.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I was
because his dad was pretty senior in the Masonic lodges, and he does know a lot. There's no two ways about that. That guy, he's off his head, but he's got some serious knowledge about the Masons and or some of the more out there lodges, and he did that. Broadcast from one of the lodges where he, you know, found, you know, all the astronauts that were members, and it's all in the film that he did with, I can't remember the guy, but Buzz Aldrin was one of the.
Are you talking about Scott Kelly? I'm sorry to cut you off, original stimulant. And you, Rick, I've just got a message from Ab. He's just eating. He'll be here shortly. Velocet, okay. If you want to unmute, Velocet. Do you want to unmute? Hello, Bill? You there, mate? Tell it. Hello?
Can you hear me?
There you go.
2-2-1-2.
Tell us.
Man, having advanced audio gear, I'll tell you what, to get it right, I haven't been on any web app in a while, so it's screwing my head trying to make sure the path works.
Just plug in a cheap Apple iPhone into
plug. So I just want to introduce everyone. So I've got Rick here from, he's from Port Macquarie, we've got Freya from Florida, we've got Original Simulant from Florida, and me, I'm from Newcastle, and Velocet, you're in Sydney, and you with TGB or TUE? I can't remember which station you were.
I'm not with any station anymore. I used to be.
Okay.
I know most of the voices because I've been here. I've been listening to all the podcasts. Exoteric 64. You're Port Macquarie, right?
Yeah. I'm based in Balmain and Port Macquarie.
Yeah, and Ab will be here in a little while, so I'll go on mute. But you guys have a chat. Yep. For sure.
So in that role, I'm putting everyone to have a chat and then introducing. Yeah. Come on.
He's just a slut. That's what he is.
I am a slut. I'm not as big a slut as Stenson Monik. He's the biggest slut there was.
I liked your Paul Stanley get up, though. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yes. I was made for loving you, Original Simulant. I was made for loving you.
They did a couple of good tracks without makeup in the late 80s. Look it up.
What do you think that song's about?
I wonder. I wonder.
Oh, jeez. Ugh, Kiss. With no makeup.
I'm a metal freak, you know, and I'm into music big time, but I never got into Kiss, but I preferred that Lick It Up and the stuff they did without their makeup bigger than like their other stuff.
That was without Ace Frehley, too, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it was.
He'd already left.
Yeah, chronic alcoholic.
Yeah, well, who is it, right? Come on.
I'm sitting here drinking away, so yeah, well, I can't. There's Rollo putting the Kiss songs on.
Heard you guys, somebody was, or maybe, no, never mind, that's somebody else, I think. Never mind.
So, Velocet, who did you work for in the Sydney broadcasting?
It wasn't just Sydney. In Sydney it was Kyle and Jackie O and James and Amanda.
Oh, God almighty.
But I was in technology, so I worked, they belong to a network that has stations all around Australia, so I looked after all the technology for the radio stations everywhere,
Kyle and Jackie O at Today FM. And then
I was at Kiss,
yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm very au fait with all that stuff, because I've been radio in Sydney for a long time.
The
mainstream, lamestream FM, playing the commercial stuff, you know, but big, very big, very
top
big.
40, like, I
guess. Totally.
Sorry, Original Simulant, where are you from?
Florida, in the United States.
Okay, right, so you know Howard Stern. Kyle Sandling's like a Howard Stern imitator kind of breakfast zoo kind of show.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay.
He's Howard Stern of Australia, really.
Yeah, he is.
And
that's huge.
He makes a lot of his friendship with John Ibrahim in the underworld as part of his shtick.
From what I know, most of his money isn't from radio anymore. That's just a hobby. Like, he's got so much money invested in nightclubs and all kinds of
things. Yeah, him and Ibrahim.
Loan sharking.
Yeah, him and Ibrahim are heavily involved business-wise.
Degenerate practices.
Yeah. Well,
pornography, you know, all the
whatever they can get into. It's good to talk to you. So you've behind the scenes, Velocet, with the production?
With radio, you're kind of an all-rounder. Like, usually to get into radio, you've got to start off by volunteering. You've got to know your craft before.
Yeah, they all are.
Community radio, doing everything. So I've got a voice for radio. I've done voiceover before. So I started off announcing. Then I started doing technology, and it was easier to get my foot in the door, metro station, doing technology rather than trying to announce. Like, you've got to really move around to try and work your way up as an announcer. If you're good at technology, you can get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
So I was engineering and then operations, mostly that kind of thing.
Yeah. Good. Cool. There's a bit of a network. I spoke to announcer Salt, who's from Victoria, I think. He was in Sydney on the weekend, and Rollo's about 2 hours from me. I travel between mid-North Coast and Sydney every week, and I listen to a lot of radio, or I certainly used to, but not anymore. Apart from, I listen to 2GB just to be interested, you know.
You listen to heaps of podcasts, don't you?
Yeah.
It's hard because I'm not participating often in the Discord. I'm usually just listening to podcasts and,
yeah,
like out of all the Aussies, there's a few Aussies and New Zealanders and that on here. It's hard. I can't, like, the voices sound the same to me, and I just get lost. So I'm just listening to the content and not really paying close attention to the actual.
I found it actually disconcerting listening to Australian voices and New Zealand voices, because I find them. I like the American voice. Americans. I haven't heard one that I don't think sounds like they could be on radio full time. They just have a much better, clearer vocabulary. The New Zealanders I listen to, that terrible fake named Vinny Eastwood.
And Vinny Eastwood, yeah.
Yeah, he's totally, to me, I just can't even hear him, listen to him. He's big and. Well, when I say big and alternative, so big in the small way, but he's involved with the guys that do the Ed Opperman show. What he should be doing is production, because he's got a really good, he's a natural salesman. He's got real ballsy, you know, upfront attitude, so he'd be fantastic as a production person, but he's actually got a big show, the Vinny Eastwood show, which runs out of... it comes off Ed Offman.
Are you talking about Vinny Eastwood?
He does voiceovers for them, but he's not well travelled. He's never left New Zealand, as far as I can work out. He's ballsy though, and he's got a good technique as far as production goes. But he got busted for pot when he was about 18 or 19, and he got busted for supply, and apparently he's not allowed to leave the country. So he's never travelled. He doesn't know what the world looks like. He may as well be living in, fucking Zimbabwe in a small hut in the middle of the desert. The world, as far as he's concerned, is what he listens to on the radio. So he's never actually seen or met a lot of people, you know, he's not worldly.
Is that a ramification of being caught with that you can't leave the country?
Yeah, it is. Well, he got done for supply. I've listened, if you go onto any of his podcasts, he mentions that he got either set up or he was selling, you know, minor league pot. And he got done.
Supply, and is supply different to just having a lot? You know how it looks like that? Sort of personal use and then having a lot on you kind of thing.
Well, we'll put it this way. Yeah, he'll never be allowed to visit America. I can guarantee you that.
Caught with a lot of drugs on me. Is that supply or are they different
things? Passport, then that's basically the
he got done. He was selling like an ounce of pot to his school friend or something or other. They charged him a supply And that's what got him into what he's doing. And I must say, compared to what I'm doing, he's doing 5 million times more than me, because he's actually really, he turns up to protests. He's there, you know, putting his voice out there. But I pick up in his voice, he's not very worldly, that he actually doesn't know what he's talking about. He's only getting everything off the net. And I get that with John LeBon as well. It's
cut from that same cloth, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I've travelled a bit.
It's not like Phil Rudd. Phil Rudd, the drummer from AC/DC. All right, he had the best life in the world.
Yeah, he lives where I'm from.
And I know he went to New Zealand, but then he went and busted it all up. It was ice that he got into. Or
yeah, Pete. He got done with Pete. They call it pee in New Zealand. It's basically meth.
It's a nasty drug.
But what he did is he was off his head and he threatened someone over the phone and they charged him with
look what it did to him. Look what it did to him. Look how good looking he was when he was younger.
Look at Angus. Drink, doesn't smoke. Angus chain smokes, but he doesn't drink. And he looks terrible. And he lives in Amsterdam. I know for sure. And Phil Rudd's... been drumming, smoking, and screwing hookers and lesbian hookers.
There's nothing wrong with that, but that's okay. But look at what it did to him, because he was a good looking man, and then
oh, he's man, in his actually mid to late 60s, so yeah, that's pretty good as far as I'm concerned.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes playing in a band.
That's how it goes. Play it in a bed. Yeah, it's a long way to the top if you want to fucking roll.
Yeah, I don't believe it. It's a hard, you know, a lot of guys run hard.
We've got to get Day J here. We've got to get Day J here because
someone to moderate Rollo so you can have a go at him again.
No, I don't want to have a go at him again.
You both need to calm down. You both have plenty to say. But
Velocet's clearly got the best headgear on here because he really does. Yeah, I can hear.
I just got a new Rode broadcaster. Yeah, I'm selecting the mics because I use it for work. So I'm just trying out this one.
So you've got the thing around the end of the microphone that filters your conversation.
I use one. I have good mic technique. You don't need those tools if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I've got a company I work for in Sydney that's called Design Industry that come out with all the latest and best technology, and there's a couple of amazing mics I've got there, and they look like the golden mic that Mr. Laws has, but they've got a very fine, they've got a circle around them with a really fine thin layer of Gore-Tex or something that makes your voice sound much more pleasant.
All the plosives and things like that.
Yeah.
You've got a gold one as well. I coded that. I had to pull it apart and have it gold plated and put it all back together.
I think your tonsils sound like they're coated with gold.
Gold.
Yeah, Velocet, your tonsils.
I'll give you some voiceover demos later, some of the stuff I've done.
Good idea, man. Nice to have you here.
I just wanted to, since we haven't caught up, since you're on with Lawsy, I've got a few things in the works. I'm going to give him a call, but I'm going to have a
1-300-564-652. You've got to call him.
You keep saying all the numbers. Do you realize it's 1-300 John Laws? That's what the numbers actually
tell. Yes, I do. I do.
Why do you keep saying all the numbers?
Well, all right, 1-300 John Laws. There you go.
Because he's a slut.
So much easier.
Because he's a slut.
I am a slut for Laws.
It takes more time to say it, more air time for you. No, but I've got a little content ideas in the works I want to try out.
You said he wanted to snap my neck. He said, I'll fucking snap your neck.
Did you hear when he said, you said you like his radio style and he said rodeo style in return?
Rodeo, yeah, because he was a bit shaken.
Rodeo prank not, calls for him.
Not stirred. No, I wasn't prank calling him. I tried calling him today, but he called in sick today on 2SM. He wasn't there today.
You were coming.
I think so. I think it's only a matter of time before he puts out the stalkers alert.
All the
weirdo. Who's Norman and people like that he talks to?
Norman's a classic.
Honest and the Laws from 83 to 2000 regularly. And I can't do FN though. Kyle Sandilands to me is just a fucking piece of shit.
That's why I don't work in radio anymore.
No. Yeah, Kyle Sandilands, when he interviewed that,
rape victim.
Yes, when he said, is that the first sexual experience you've ever had? And then you just, oh my God, that's just wrong.
Jackie O, all that bullshit is just fucking low IQ, mid-strength Daily Telegraph. Gossip mag, you know what I mean? New idea.
Yeah, Piers Ackerman.
Piers Ackerman is like Alan Jones. He's a right-wing extremist hero given to us. So if you listen, he's probably saying some good stuff, but if you mention anything that he said, you will be tagged as a Piers Ackerman supporter. You know, it's just, we've all been through, there's no good stuff in Australian radio.
Well, look, as much as I
George and Paul.
George and Paul on Sunday mornings, yeah. As much as I dislike, who's the guy that does 2GB from 9 till 12 now? The guy that does the rugby league.
Ray Hadley.
Look, as much as I dislike Ray Hadley, there's a lot to like about the guy.
Yeah, is, because he goes after your council rates getting put up too much. He will go up and give it to him like a council worker on steroids.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And remember when Hadley said, what was it? He was accused of wife beating by, what was his name? The 2UE morning guy. Put his knuckles down with Darren Hinch.
He got done and he got an AVO put out against him by his ex-wife who was going out with a rugby league player.
Yeah. But he said, look, I'll take everything off you that you still got. What was the he was with that rugby player. I used to love that
TUE
morning.
Steve Roach.
No. 2UE.
We're alienating our American listeners.
All right, okay. But there was a lovely morning show where he was on. Bugger me if I cannot remember his name.
Can I ask you guys something? I think some of you guys were talking about this before, and I didn't quite catch it, and I wanted to know what you knew about it. But about Opperman, right? Like, what? I heard some of you guys talking about. I think it's some of you guys talking about his backstory before a little bit,
yeah, no.
Or like, or his fall kind of. What happened with him? Because I've listened to a lot of Ed Opperman.
Interacting with him
a little bit, and he's like, God, have you ever tried to interact with him?
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's so prickly.
Yeah. I'm on Facebook with him as we speak, literally, and I had an argument with him over the United Nations Agenda 2030, because he got hold of it, and he said he read it, and he said there's nothing in this that is bad.
I've heard him say that before.
But
what was his history with? I mean, I know he was like
he was a yippie.
Right. I know about all that stuff, but there was someone who was talking about like how he got caught up or something, or done, as you guys might say.
No, I haven't heard that. He was a yippie, pot smoking radical in the 70s. He's same age as I am, probably maybe a year older, and he does continually go on about his background with the yippies, but
and his nightclub life.
Yeah. And he was he's got some of the dodgiest ex-private eyes as his good friends, without any doubt whatsoever. You know, I can't remember the guy's names, but he's genuine. He's a Christian. I wouldn't say that he's dodgy, but the stuff, you could not argue with him online or with anything within. He was also very totally supportive of the shooting in Las Vegas. He said it definitely happened. His wife was a nurse, ex-wife was a nurse at the hospital, and it was full of people, blah, 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 blah. So I'm not sure how to deal with that, but he also was really bad. He was very pro-United Nations, which I can't deal with, really, because I really do, having been into this stuff for probably 40-odd years, everything that they said about the United Nations, to me, were their special rooms for worshipping...
The meditation room.
The meditation room. I heard that in 1981, and... So far,
Bill Cooper. Oh no, that's before May Brussels,
nah,
probably.
No, it was probably May Brussels. I believe what they said about the United Nations, because Rockefellers gave the United Nations building to them on the property that they owned in New York, that was the ex abattoir for 40 years before it was a building site, which that seems to be a real common factor in this thing that they love sacrifice and. All that bullshit, and the United Nations was built on the ex-abattoir site that the Rockefellers owned, and they bequeathed them the land.
I'm kind of the opinion that the United Nations and the United States are basically the same thing. You know what I mean?
I think so too. Yeah.
There's no real, I mean, yeah, it's in Rockefeller Center. I mean, it's in fucking New York, you know, the Rockefeller's down, like you said. So
yeah, and where Offerman came in with some interesting stuff, he's interviewing the ex-detective that was based in New York in the 60s and 70s. Jim Rothstein. And Rothstein reckons that he had on his priority list of sex offenders many members of the United Nations. And so I kind of linked that thing in with what Offerman was saying. So he is coming up with some good stuff, as far as I'm concerned.
Does have some interesting stuff, and he takes a pretty hard view on the things that are hard, on some of the things that are pretty hard
Charles,
to view on.
Yeah, his interview.
Also, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. His interview with the father of the
West Memphis 3 kid.
Yeah, he's done that. The whole lot all fits together, but his interview with the father of the son that was killed in the SEAL Team 6.
Yeah. I know exactly.
One of the best interviews I've ever heard, because I can go on a voice. I can read a voice. I can hear pick a liar or pick a whatever by their voice, the vibration of their voice or whatever it is. And that guy was totally genuine about what he was saying about his son being,
yeah,
you know.
That was really good idea.
Yeah. And so what you've got to do with this whole scene is listen to people that have got polarized opposite views to what you may have, but you'll get a bit of truth out of what they're saying. And you've got to filter the shit out and work out, you know, well, that sounds what he said. And then it's like a game of chess. This whole truth stuff. You know, you've got your setups and your bullshit artists and your whatever, but I think Ed Offerman has some very, very credible stuff on his podcast.
I think so too. Some stuff, and there's other stuff he's way, you know, like anybody though, who's going to be perfect, right?
No, you know, it's perfect. What we're doing is playing a game of chess with truth. You know, we're trying to filter out bullshit and work out who's with who and who's with not. So it's a tough game, there's no doubt about that. But you can't say, I'm not going to listen to that, I'm not going to listen to him, you know, he's in the UFOs, so I'm not going to listen to him. You must listen to all sorts of different views. Because I started off into UFOs, that was my expertise. I mean, in the 70s...
What?
UFOs. I mean, I was an obsessive UFO. Yeah,
I still think that UFOs are interesting, but
yeah, they are. But I picked up in the 70s via reading American UFO magazines that these things were military based. You know, they were clearly a technology that we weren't being given, just like our smartphones. You know, I mean, look what we've got in their hands. I've got a phone that I can send pictures. Look at this, look at that, and whereas
got all the information in the world available.
And I can do it by moving my fingers to get that stuff. I believed that UFOs were a military technology that we weren't given, using anti-magnetic technology, which I spent some time with a lot of ex-military types through my work, and used to chat away. And one of them said to me, he said, he was an ex-Vietnam Special Forces guy, and he told me a story one night late, which is when you get this truth out of the Special Forces type, it's always when they're tired and they're not into, you know, worrying about what they're saying. And he told me that he went to a base in America that he got led into level whatever it was, might have been 42, and there was 160 security levels. And he reckons that he saw workers on that base manoeuvring bombs and, ordnance into aircraft using a pallet jack that floated on the top of the ground, like a, you know how when you put two magnets together, they
right, yeah,
push
that magnetic.
Yeah. He told me, and he was just a genuine salt of the earth ex Special Air Service guy who wouldn't have been bullshitting. It was the other night. He said that he saw they had a pallet jack. I say the pallet jack. It's something that you'd put under a pallet and you jack it up and it,
I know,
you know, can move it right. He said they had stuff that looked like that, but it was floating on the tarmac and it would just lift up into the craft they were putting the bombs in. And he couldn't explain it. But to me, I picked up on anti-magnetism. It's just two and two together, you know. You put your two magnets together and you get a... So you run a negative charge on your floor and have your pallet, you know, your machinery running at a different level and it floats on top of it. It's so easy. I mean, I could do it now if I had to.
The MagRail trains run like that, right?
It's exactly how the free floater train runs on that principle. So what he told me in 1991, I totally believed. So I've been into the alternative stuff. I went to the Nexus conferences in the 80s. Nexus magazine actually is not a bad magazine. I don't know if you've got it over there, but it's
that's
run
the one where I saw the one of the guys do a presentation on the moon, I think for Nexus magazine, on the moon hoax, on the photography of it and stuff. It was fascinating. It was I can't remember.
Well, I actually met Duncan Rhodes. I met Stan Deo. I met
I don't know those guys.
I actually met him, went up and talked to him because I saw him standing there, and I walked straight up and chatted away to him. He was at that stage living in Western Australia researching earthquakes. This is 1995, 96. And nice guy. He actually admitted to working for the FBI. FBI. He said he was getting information leaked to him by FBI about technology, and he actually said that to me when I was talking to him. So how much?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
And what was I talking about? Are we there?
Yeah, you're talking about Stan Deo.
We've got Velocet here, and we've got to thank him for that little soundbite. Thank you, Velocet, for that.
Who screams?
Who screams, Velocet? You made the soundbite. Come on.
Name, Ab knew it off the top of his head. And when people always
Jennifer
talk about
Spell,
this stuff, they know,
Jennifer Spell.
That's it. Yes, it's Jennifer Spell. But I can't remember all these bloody names of all these people involved with this stuff. But I just thought, audio wise, that is the one clip that just. I mean, you can look at September Clue, and you've got all these visual cues. But audio wise, to hear, like for an audio engineer, you hear this outdoor jet sound and then just this indoor reverberated scream. It's just so, it's a charade. It's ridiculous, you know?
Mm-hmm. The whole thing's a charade once you start looking at it.
Yeah, because you actually, when the Jennifer Spell scream happens, the actual camera, it pans, it doesn't tilt. It pans and then bang and stops on where the tower is and when the boom comes through. Yeah, it's complete. Yeah, complete. And if you want to know the full truth, September Clues. Yeah, pantomime. September Clues. Yeah, but that's a great little audio grab you did there, Velocet. I don't know how long that took you to do that.
Oh, it's about 10 minutes.
Well done, Velocet.
Yep.
We should probably change the background. It's got a lot of bass in there, and it might, you know.
Only to those with really high level AirPods or whatever they are, but that sounds good. I think it sounds good. Roller the slut thinks he thinks it sounds good.
Are you going for another cigarette now?
No, he probably has. So terrible.
Oh,
and so, and are you based in Sydney, Velocet?
So you guys like Mae Brendel too? You said you were familiar with her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dave Emery at all?
He. What happened to him?
He had a stroke a few years ago.
He's still doing
stuff. He does some of his stuff lately. Is a lot better than you know than had been for a while, but. He's still doing good research on the nexus between like the technocracy and you know, and fascism and banking.
I'll say this, and coming from being into this stuff for 40-odd years, the technocracy stuff is the best info you're going to get of what's going on, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you like and Patrick Wood, his stuff? Patrick Wood,
What
was his, guy, what was the guy with him saying? From the Columbia professor? You know what I'm talking about? Anthony Sutton?
Sutton's books are the best, without any exaggeration. Anthony Sutton,
Wall Street, books,
and Tavistock.
Yeah.
That's where you're getting information from. I mean, I've literally been getting laughed at since 1981, maybe, or 1982, having been exposed to Carol Quigley's books and involved with stuff like that. And people saying, oh, you know, you're mad, you know, this is just rubbish. It's not anything that you're going to be able to convince your own mother or your own father with, but sometimes you'll meet someone, and I like what Alan Watts said. He said, you know, you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your best friends. And it's true, you will lose them because they will not be able to accept what your views are exposing. You know, I think we're looking at 1 or 2% of the planet literally can kind of grasp this shit. You know, not 30%, not 20%, not 5%. 2%.
I don't know. 2%.
I would say like 0.002.
Yeah. Okay.
I think people have like a weird perception of population.
Like, yeah. I'm not a mathematician or statistician, but I'm talking about the guys that got me into this stuff back in the early 80s. Even them now would not be able to grasp the full exposure to the facade we've been given of our reality. I don't know if you listen. I worked on the Matrix 1, 2, and 3. I worked on Dark City, the movie, and I never picked up on any of the stuff that they were talking about while working on the film. And I was actually sitting there watching them film it, doing the bodyguard and security work. And I remember watching Dark City thinking, oh, that's interesting, you know, what they're talking about. And it wasn't until 2 or 3 years later watching the film, I went, far out, you know, this is straight out of this Gnostic, you know, all this Gnostic symbolism that was in the film. I didn't pick up while I was working day to day on the actual film process itself. So you've got to look at how people perceive things. Real life, it's just really difficult. You've got to be not cynical. You've got to have a cynical gene and a positive gene at the same time to accept what you're seeing. Your reality is being shaped as you view it on real time. You're going to get lied to. You're going to have to, you know, your family are going to accept all this stuff that they've been told by the newspapers over the years, and you're going to get into arguments with people that you think are your best friends, and it's really difficult. That's where I think fakeologist, as extreme as it is probably the best place to be.
You should go out and start arguing with people, though. Like, I think a lot of people are saying now where they're starting to realise maybe it's something we can just keep quiet, and that there are opportunities where people will ask questions, but for the most part, this is something you can know, and no one's harming you. You get to explore the realm, you know, without having to distress people.
Mm. I don't mean distressing people, but I mean when you can't even talk to your bit. Like, one of my best friends pulls the highest non-manned rocket flights into the atmosphere in Australasia. Me and him went to see 2001 Space Odyssey in 1970. He is an astronomer of the highest, you know, he started studying when he was 9. Me and him are close, really close friends, yet there'd be a lot of stuff that I would argue with him. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. You're not dealing with just, you know, someone you peripherally know. Your best friends are going to be querying what you think. Your family are going to be querying what you think.
Yeah, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I get the same thing.
Yeah,
about those more peripheral people, like working with satellites in broadcasts, like stuff like that. I laugh, like people. You know, you can't tell them all. It's just a silly story you're being told. Like, you can obviously see that all these things aren't worth millions and millions of dollars. Like, that's going elsewhere, but no one would.
Yeah, it's like having trying to have a foot in two worlds. You know what I mean? It's not the easiest thing in the world to have a foot in two worlds. To kind of pretend, you know, to go along a bit.
You've got to, and that's where I'm totally an Alan Wattite, and I'm talking about the Scottish Alan Watt, not the philosopher Alan Watt. He said, your problem won't be what you think, it's what other people think of you and what you think of other people's thoughts, and that you're going to be completely alienated by nearly, 0.000 whatever of the population is just going to think you're mad by having these views. And that's the tough part.
What Karl Marx, talked about how when everything becomes commodified, the alienation of, like, the natural man, you know, of, like, the sense kind of oriented man, you know, I know this is bad because I can see it's bad, you know, like, the alienation that person will experience will,
you're going alien, you know, like me.
And not only that, but it'll push him to the, like, acceptance of, I'm saying.
I need to repeat that. You're being alienated from us.
Yeah. I did the same thing when I was driving to Sydney last week. People kept saying I sound like a Dalek.
I don't know. My perception's probably bad. But
yeah, no, I can hear it now.
I was just saying that Mark said about the alienation, that the commodification of the world will cause the people who are more natural to kind of just be, you know, be pushed kind of on the fringe while the large elephant gets, you know, built around it. And there's no, you know, doesn't matter how much truth they have, it's not a commodity, it's not, the value of their commodity, of their information, isn't enough to beat, you know, global capital, you know, it's just not going to do it. So
you've got to have an ability to be, accept that you're going to be proved wrong, but still believe totally that what you're going to be proved wrong is true at the same time. You know, you've got to have two different things going, because I'm not a scientist, so, I mean, I could be proved wrong with anything that I'm coming up with by statistics and, you know, fallacies and whatever, but you've got to go with your stomach and your gut instinct. And your total, you've got to go with instinct, totally with this stuff.
And we've been joined by John LeBon. John LeBon, do you want to unmute? John LeBon, do you want to, does he go by gut instinct, or is this just total logic, John LeBon? John LeBon? From johnlebon.com?
I think you might know who he is.
I think we do. He pissed Simon Shack off during the week, so let's see if he wants to unmute and join us.
I just think we're in an age where our own instincts are the only thing that's going to keep us sane. And you've got to be prepared to have your own closest friends mock you. Not maybe not mock you, but not believe what you're telling them. And unless you've got that ability...
But why would you be telling them in the first place if they're going to mock you? Like, you're presupposing that this information needs to be shared.
Well, once they start mocking you, of course you're not going to tell them, but you've got to explain. If you feel you need to explain something and that they need to know something, you've got to try and explain it.
The level of what they might need to know that you've got to share with them.
As I said, my best friend is an astronomer from 9 years of age. Me and him both sat in Gemini 7 or whatever it was when it came trolling through the countryside in New Zealand in the 70s, early 70s. We watched the same TV shows. We watched this. He can do the mathematics. He flies unmanned rockets to the highest level in Australasia that anyone's ever flown. And to me, and I'm telling him that space isn't what you think it is, he's not going to believe it.
No, but like even... when you're watching the TV show together, you're able to suspend your disbelief and enjoy the fiction of the TV show while not believing it in your real life. He's much the same. He's happy living in this fairy tale where all the numbers make sense. So why shatter that?
That's the thing. Maybe I don't want to shatter that, and I'm just quite happy to know something that he doesn't know. I don't want to ruin his...
It's really on you to be able to deal with it and think quick enough to react the way people might expect.
I was in Canberra at the Questacon 2 years ago with my son, who's 10. Yeah, he was 8 then, and we walked in, and there was a scientist explaining the moon and space travel. And I said to him, after we walked out of the thing, I said, what did you think? He goes, Dad, I just didn't want to upset them by telling him what I thought. Because he's a real non-believer in space. And he actually said to me, he goes, I didn't want to upset the people in the room by saying that what they're listening to isn't true. And I can kind of concur to that. You know, you don't want to...
Why is he a non-believer in space?
What about the guy that asked why can you see bubbles in space? The guy that... asked Scott Kelly. I like people that go out of their way to like that. This big fat guy that went to space, apparently. We know that the International Space Station is a fake station. Why do these people like Chris Hadfield go up there and pretend to lie to us?
How much money?
We'd all like to know the answer to that, Rollo, but if we could go back to the question I was just asking.
Sorry,
why is he a non-believer in space?
Yes. He picked up on it through osmosis. Osmosis through me probably commentating on things and just went logically with, you know, he's on YouTube all day, every day, watching different things, and he's got his own opinion. And I haven't forced my opinion on any of them, but he said, because what they did in this Questacon, they came out and they said, how far to the moon and back have we been since 1972? And they held up, and the scientist guy holds up his arms with his one finger on the left side and one finger on the right side. And they said, how far have we been out of space since 72, and everyone put their hand up, and then he gave three different, you know, points that have we been there, have we been there, have we been there, and most people all said quarter of the way to the moon. The actual answer is we've been a quarter of a millimetre off the farthest side of your left hand.
If you were looking between the floor and the ceiling, it's about 2 millimetres off the floor to the ceiling.
Exactly. And I didn't put my hand up. I didn't say anything. But I said to Gabriel after, I said, why didn't you say something? He goes, Dad, I didn't want to upset people. Because he knew from his research that he does online that we've been a millimetre off the top of the left hand, nowhere near the magnetic, you know, the belt magnetic or the radio.
Who knows if those belts even exist? Like, come on.
But we don't know, but that's what we've been given. And so the people in the audience of this thing, on the main thing, put their hand up when they said halfway. That was the majority said we've been halfway to the moon. People like me... Well, I knew that we hadn't, but I hadn't had any concept that we'd only been a fraction off the far left finger compared to the far right finger on a big tall guy's right arm. And that confirmed it to me that we have not been to space. And
yeah, but who knows what space is? Like,
they can't even define what space even is. You know, that's what did it for me when it was like, can you even define what space is? No. You know what I mean? Not with any coherent definition. So right away it was like, this shit's out the window. This is garbage. You know, like, if you can't define it in any kind of coherent way, that'd be a page. Forget it. You know what I mean? You don't know what the fuck's going on. You know?
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. It's just total farce.
But then again, there's something to be said for not not upsetting the herd too. You know, I don't necessarily believe in, like, you're shouting fake in a crowded theater. You know what I mean? It's like,
some people look. My son didn't want to upset the people by saying, you haven't been anywhere.
You know, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Let them have their story. You know,
I thought it was fantastic.
Keep them happy. You know.
Yeah,
that's empathy.
Empathy, and that's the thing that's sadly lacking in the planet today, is empathy. You've got to feel sorry for people that do believe this went on. Like, I couldn't tell my father about 911. He doesn't want to know that. It would upset him if he found that out. And you can try as you like. People like that will not accept that we've been lied to, and that's...
The one who worked on The Matrix, so you should be very familiar with the idea that some people are just too old to become aware of these
things. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they cannot and will not accept that 2 plus 2 equals 4. They want 2 plus 2 to equal 5. It's been their best thing they've ever saw growing up. It's their life. It's their mantra. You know, 2 plus 2 equals 5. Well, we know 2 plus 2 equals 4.
Well, just equal by anything we want, theoretically. You know.
Well, yes,
what,
of course.
2 what is the question, right? 2 what?
But I can pick up 4 lemons now and know that I've got 4 lemons, mathematically. I mean, there's, you know, it's as simple as that. There's not 30, I've got 4. You know, you just go with your gut instinct and go with what you believe is true, and I've been doing that since 69. You know, I watched the moon landings live. I saw that, well, when I say live, what we were given live in 69, I saw, Diamonds Are Forever in 71. I saw the fake set where they jumped in and James Bond drove through the thing where the astronauts were being stupid on that film set. I watched Capricorn 1 in 74. You know, I just picked up on that. You know, we're given some kind of sign here that, you know, they're bullshitted to us about where they're going and where they, how they did it. And they did it for a reason. I didn't know what the reason was, but I used my stomach and my own gut instinct to think that seems really sus to me. So, you know, that's all we can do. And that's my belief, is gut instinct. And B, if someone doesn't believe it, don't push it on them. You know, just be cool. You know, they don't want to believe that they've been lied to, so good on them. Where's John Le Bon?
You're keen to talk to John, are you?
No, I thought he was on there. Your voice comes through really clear, so whatever you're using works.
I know it works, but there's a lot of post-processing and that in Discord that affects, you know, I don't think a pro mic is the best way to go for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well,
I'm going to have a cigarette in a sec, so I'll transition to my little headset for my phone.
I'm using an iPhone 8 with a pod thing.
It's all going down to a very low bit rate voice stream anyway. It's not, you know, like you're using very low bit tech, so... Having a great microphone at one end isn't going to improve a whole lot.
No, but well, yours sounds good. That's all I can say. My kids are upstairs using their Discord, and they're using cheap gaming mics, but they're chatting away to people all over the place, and it comes out really clear. So you're right about what you said about the lower level volume mic works well. Is Rollo still here?
I like that digitized Dalek sound. I want kind of like a... I like that all the time.
Yeah. Exterminate!
Add that as a feature, a button to turn it on and off, so you can have it there like
exterminate.
A...
Exterminate!
Yeah. Exterminate! Exterminate!
That's what you get. You start blabbing about 9/11.
I am still here. I've got a photo I'm just going to throw in just for a sec. Which one? You got to... I want everyone here in the room to work out which one is the lemon.
Okay.
Lemon.
He's just being annoying.
He's
just a slut.
I don't know your cultural cues and affectations, so I'm
So how far are you away from work when you have to drive? You have an hour to work? Or?
I'm still 20 minutes, and I still got to get gas.
Cool. How much is gas now out in Florida?
About I just put it on the card, so I'm just like such a train lemming. I just put the fucking money in the card. I just shove it in the machine, and whatever it costs is what it costs. You know,
We all do that.
But it's like I think it's about $2.50 a gallon.
A gallon? Okay, so I paid $1.33.
Uh-oh. Illuminati confirmed.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
Where's Dave J?
You spiritual murderer!
I was spiritually convicted for spiritual murder. I had to serve a spiritual, I did a spiritual plea bargain whereby I was able to.
That's cool. That's all cool. So where's Dave J live? Is he in America or is he in Philippines? He's keeps going.
There we go, guys. Okay. Have a look. Which one is the lemon? You see it? General unverified.
Okay, I'm looking now.
I think it's the middle one wearing a red hat.
Yeah. Have you got your Devo hat?
Thank you, Bellicet. I think Bellicet's the winner here. Bellicet's the winner.
Is it your Devo hat, Roland?
That's my Devo hat. There's three limes, one lemon, or two lemons.
Oh, you're so funny.
Oh, I try to be. I'm such a slutty funny. I'm slutty.
Old slut.
I'm going for a smoke. Be right back.
You guys, what are you getting? In Wolf Mother, they're from Australia, right?
Yeah. They were good for a while.
When they lost the bass player or whatever, it all went to shit. But
they had a fight, as most bands do, and then next thing you know, they're all split up. Yeah, that was fast. Who did that?
What about when Axl was singing for AC/DC? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I loved it. I can't stand him full stop, but the guy can fucking sing, and I was 100%. I probably did it deliberately. I actually know Mel Evans, Mel Young from AC/DC that passed away last year. And I thought, he actually said that, because, we asked, who he thought should have been the AC/DC single, because all of us thought should have been a couple of singers from a couple of Australian bands. He picked him way back. So, there you go.
Axl's, man, I love, Guns N' Roses is like my favorite band ever.
Yeah. I didn't like him just because of the fact he was a bit of an, asshole. But, yeah. But, fuck, man, that guy can sing. No two ways about it.
It's like an 8-octave voice or something like that. He's off the chain.
Yeah. The best of the lot is Judas Priest, Rob Halford. He's got a 6-octave voice, but he can sing. He stepped in for Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple.
Turbo Lover, right there.
Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin. He stepped in when one of the lead singers was out of action. And done the gig. That to me is an impossible, to say. Can you find anyone good at that? Rob Halford did it. So yeah, I'm in that. But I love AC/DC with naturally. I hated Brian Jones. I couldn't stand. Absolutely fucking could not stand him. I remember the arguments I've gone through over the years. No. Axl Rose did the best stand-in job that a bloke could do. I thought he was fantastic.
Oh,
absolutely
fantastic.
Yeah.
Whole lot of women. Man, they scared up.
Yeah,
everyone.
Yeah.
Who's Diamond Head? Were they from Australia?
Yeah, no. Diamond Head, London, from England. Yeah.
Trying to think of who else.
I'm a musicologist, metalologist from way back. I can talk rock, metal, heavy, whatever, till the cows come.
Was it Rose Tattoo. They were from
Australia. I used them in my, I got interviewed by Ab, and I used Rose Tattoo as my intro.
Yeah, the best bands
in Australia back in those days were the Angels, Rose Tattoo, AC/DC, and maybe one of the band, but they all sound the same. They all did the same gigs, and they were all fantastic.
Hey, I have to get gas right now. I'm gonna go on mute for a minute.
Cool. All good. Hello. Is there anybody out there?
Sorry, I'm still here. I just had my gear muted for a sec. I was just chatting to someone.
Where did everyone go? Check 1, 2. Did John LeVon not join us? No, everyone's fucked off. Who we got here? Matthew Raymer. You can come and join us if you want, Matt. Matt Raymer, are you a verified member? You can come and join us.
Sorry, I was still here, Ollie. I was just
You're right, Bella said. Hey, well done again on your You said it only took you 10 minutes to put that.
Maybe 15.
Fucking hell, man! That's a skill and an ability. Who did you work for? 2GB or 2UE? I don't know.
We had this discussion.
I know, but I forget. Who'd you work for? Alan Jones or what?
Kiss, Carl and Jackie.
Okay. All right, man. I've got Matthew Raymer. I don't know where you're from. Matthew, come and join us if you want. Just try and drag him in. Hold on a sec. Do you have a mic? Matthew, do you have a mic? If he doesn't, it's up to him. Rick. Rick. He's lost. We've lost him. Original Simulant, you're there?
I just got back on, yeah.
Thank you, mate. Look, I'll just message Dave J. You wanted to have a chat with Dave J, right?
Oh, God, no. No, I don't want to have a chat with Dave J. I'm being facetious.
You were being facetious.
He's going to make a scream and go nuts. You know what I mean?
All right. Okay.
Let me ask a question. I don't understand this.
Let me ask a question to Belzet, because he's Australian. Is Tony Abbott and Tony Blair the same human being?
What does it matter, Rollo? What does it matter
if they are? It does to me. It does to me.
Things does Dave J say that you don't like?
The Tony Abbott and Tony Blair are the same person?
No, give me one other one, and don't do the Jodie Foster.
All right, okay, Julia Gillard and Jodie Foster.
Give me one other belief system about other than people being other people.
Well, you're a spiritual murderer. You're a spiritual murderer.
You don't think there's some stock in saying that suggesting people are dead when they're not could actually bring people's spirits down?
Yes. Well, look what happened today. Well, here we go. I don't want to get political, but let's. I am Original Simulant. Can you just ease back on that for a sec? What happened? What happened today? In the news, apparently, what happened? Bloody someone bombed Syria or something. Someone American bombed Syria. And Alex Jones went off his head. Your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that?
To do with something Dave J said.
Dave J? Dave J?
I'm asking you another thing.
Yeah, look, Dave J.
He screams. I know at me. He calls me every manner of terrible name for no reason. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Just because I'm a Freemason. Like, you know, it's like. I mean, do you want me to specifically say? I dislike the guy personally. No, I don't dislike the guy. I don't know him. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's LARPing. I don't know the deal. You know what I mean? But it's like it shuts down every manner of any kind of conversation for no reason. You know? It's just based
I think
on,
that's
like,
more because it contradicts what you guys are saying.
Mm.
To be fair, I think he has a lot of fair points. Sure, there are some things sprinkled in there that I don't agree with, but you've got to wonder why that is. What's his objective when he might not even believe that himself?
Well, I don't know, but I'm not into like Sherlock Holmes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not put on that case. I mean, we could talk about stuff in a normal way. I'd love to talk to that guy. I think he has interesting stuff to say too, for sure.
Sure.
But it's like it's not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Where's it? It's like going to talk to your, like, alcoholic, abusive, you know, brother or something, you know, about the money he owes you. Well, how well is that going to turn out, ever, you know?
I think I've read every Sherlock Holmes novel book. I've read it all. I think he's fantastic. What was his name? Arthur Conan Doyle, right?
Freemason, Arthur Conan Doyle, yeah.
Yeah, well, he might be a Freemason, but I just think he's just a wonderful writer. So I've got no problem with that, but I've got a problem with DJ, simply and concisely. All right, okay, Bellicet. The fellow who wrote, what was it? On chalk in Sydney. You live in Sydney, right? Eternity.
He wrote Eternity on the footpath. Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure of the guy's name.
No, I'm not sure of his name either, but they made a big thing of him. Like,
handwriting.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I have problems with people saying Tony Abbott and Tony Blair are the same person or same human being. I just got a problem with that.
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't really care about that.
I do know, because I'm not fucking stupid.
No, you don't know. You don't know. No, you don't know. We don't really know. And form beliefs, but we don't know.
Yeah, where's Frank? Where's Frank the salt guy when we need him? Because, like, if he was here right now, you and him would be getting on like a house.
Argue about the shape of the earth as well.
Oh, good Lord. It looks flat to me.
It does to me, too. It looks that way, but how do I know? I can only the cones in my eyes can only see so far, and the sky folds down, the ground folds up. That's not the way reality is. That's my perception. We all have our perception. Mm. You know, we're all limited by physical ability here.
If you were blind, which is kind of like a thought experiment I like to kind of work on a lot, but it's like, if you were blind, where would the shape of the earth shit even come into your life at all? Where would it even matter? How would somebody
even understand color? It's a bit hard to.
How would someone explain, like, okay, blind Rollo, you live on a ball.
I have all senses. I have smell, sight, touch. I've got it all.
You'd never even be able to sort it out, though. You know, but some people are blind, and it's not like that they're any less exposed to what's true or not. Things are just as true to a blind person as they are to a person with sight. You know, if it's true, it's true. Mm. So it's like,
we start calling him blind Rollo.
I know this. I know planes can't fly into buildings and come out the other side.
Right.
Okay? Well, and that's what fakeologists is about. It's and that's why I have so much respect for Simon Schecter. I've got little to no knowledge when it comes to, what do you call it, Tycho Brahe and... And
yeah, but you
nothing.
Realize Simon Shack's not the Messiah here, Rollo. Like,
he is
mistakes.
Me.
In September.
He is
no,
me.
There's plenty of mistakes in September. Plenty of mistakes.
Well, you explain to me what mistakes he made in September, Clues. Come on.
Mistakes he made.
Come on.
Hey, is somebody related to, like, the Bin Laden?
The masking. The building, the plane coming out the other side. That's a video masking. But the masking's on the wrong edge. It doesn't work like that, video compositing. He's got it back
right.
In front.
Okay, so who's got it right? The H. Baker guy got it right?
There's no mask halfway. That doesn't make sense. The masking doesn't work like that. It's incorrect. So while I still believe in what he's saying, I believe in the effort he's making and what he's saying about the overall picture of it. I don't believe in the specifics. But it's certainly out of my eyes. I give him full credit for that because it was a big stepping stone, big turning point for me.
Me too. And that's right. And that's why I give him all the respect in the world. And when it comes to if he's going to write a new book about what's going on with the cosmos and whatnot, because I don't trust Carl Sagan or that fucking, who's the new black... DeGrasse Tyson. I don't trust him at all. They're all liars to me. So why not but we've got Gaia there that's there. He's got a PDF of Simon's new book. He hasn't got it into print yet, but he's helping him, trying to make sure it's all right. So because he's going to be scrutinized. You know, if Simon's going to give us a new model, he's going to be scrutinized. And I agree with that's all I can say. That he's going to be analyzed up the arse So
walk down the street and start suggesting new models for things, but you're going to be scrutinized.
Yeah, but the thing is, when it comes to September 11, I think you got it right. A whole bunch of smoke, bang, in Lower Manhattan, and they brought those towers down. Why not? There's no other explanation that makes any sense.
Even he's suggesting it was all done live that morning. But you know, heaven forbid you should suggest it was just pre-recorded and played back that morning. You know.
Yes. Yeah. Why not? They can get away with anything these days. Bloody hell, mainstream TV is so fucking untrustworthy, and that's the only thing that makes sense to me. At Bill Cooper, I remember that morning, and I think I remember the towers didn't even explode the way they did. I've got newspapers here, right here, it happened at 10 o'clock our time that night, right? And then the next morning, I've got newspapers with, like, full-color pictures of New York and what happened. And then the next day, like, 10 or 12 pages. This thing was, planned way in advance, and we know it. And it still pisses me off that nobody in the mainstream media will question. No one in the mainstream media. It doesn't matter. SBS, ABC, Channel 8, we don't have a Channel 8, Channel 9, 10, and 7. None of those guys. Koshy, none of those guys will question September 11th. And even if I rang Laws, even if I rang Lawsy and I asked, and he would just hang up on me, even if he would take my call on that.
Yeah,
because his ego is bigger than
the way these people are. Either they don't know and they're stupid, or they get paid enough just to not care about it. And who knows?
Tony Jones works for the ABC and gets paid $500,000 a year. $500,000, Tony Jones.
They all get paid insane amounts for the ABC. You'd think they'd be on the public money. It'd be a little bit cheaper, but no, they're on very
yeah.
Money.
You think
very
so?
Competitive
wouldn't
with the corporate interests. Yeah, well, you know, the commercial stations.
Exactly. Yep.
Can I say you're listening to radio in the evening?
I'm not on the radio. 9/11. A little bit out about 9/11, but I'm from Indiana, right?
Go for it. Yeah, you're from Indiana. Go.
In the Midwest, in the United States, Trade Center, the World Trade. Those were, you heard a little bit about it, but it wasn't like after September 11th. It's like everybody knew what the World Trade Center was. You know?
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, the World Trade Center would have been like the last thing I would have said when someone would have asked me about New York City landmarks, you know? I don't know. It just wasn't like that. They weren't that big of a deal until afterward. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, they're on album covers, they're in movies and stuff, but it wasn't like they were iconic or something until now, you know?
Isn't that right? For me too.
It was more Empire State Building and Statue of Liberty, probably.
Yeah, Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, freaking Chrysler Building, or you know what I mean? I think that's in New York. But Rockefeller Center, you know, Central Park, like those things would have been much higher. And just from its media exposure, I didn't know anything about New York, really, you know? But just, I don't know, I just thought it was interesting. And then how, like, the symbolism of, like, how they talk about it as an attack on America and all this stuff. But really, I mean, these are the World Trade Centers. It's not called the American Freedom freaking Tower, you know? It's not called the Constitution Tower. It's called the World Trade Center, you know? So you wonder, like, symbolically, it was the attack on that, wasn't it? You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then again, there's the pentagram that they hit. And,
that's right. Yeah. And then,
they quote unquote, sorry.
Yeah. And then you had that crazy plane crash in Shanksville.
Where the gay guy is like the only out of all these planes, you know, according to the story, out of all the ones who the only people that fought back, you know, the only people that showed their American spirit was some gay guy in Pennsylvania. God bless him. You know, like he's the only one that cared. But, like, Peter Lavenda would talk about sometimes how, you know, you're not going to really suss out what happened on 9/11, really. You're not going to be able to figure every little detail out. But what you can figure out is what happened after 9/11 and, like, immediately since then. And that's really, like, where I think a lot
Where did the $2 trillion go? Donnie Rumsfeld, where did that $2 trillion go, mate? Where did
the Patriot Act come from? It's a massive piece of legislation that was already in the books. Like, you know how long it takes to write those things? And they had this thing ready to go. So, you know, these are red flags.
Yeah.
You know, well, right away.
This is more, fakeologist.com is more into as far as I'm aware, we're not into politics here. It's what you actually see, and when we see the planes, you know what I mean. It's not a politics. There are a million other radio stations you can go for politics. I always like to see where things go wrong with photos, like say. Let me give you an example for that.
Once you know something's wrong, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Look, I like, as long as you can analyze, I don't know, say the moon landing's simple. We didn't go to the moon. It's as stupid as fuck. You can't get a car to the moon on that stupid bloody thing.
But once you know
you
that,
can't
you
punch
that,
the windows like out on the 32nd building, that paddock guy, and then kill 50 people. It's just, it's an impossibility. It just doesn't happen, especially when you've got video footage the next day and there's no blood or anything. There's just one cop car. You know, it's just rubbish. That's psychologist to me.
Once you sort out that there's one fake thing, like let's just say the plane through the other side of the building. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've established that for yourself, what's the point in even looking back at anything else? Or further examination. Like, once you know it's fake, what's the point?
Because I think it's because the media...
Not personally, but
yeah, keep going. The media keeps treating it as if it's a real thing, where it's clearly not.
No, I get that.
Clearly. Yeah.
I think he's just saying that, like, sometimes you might want to go look at the bigger picture of, like, why it happened, like, why they planned it, I guess. Mm.
And what are the outcomes? What happened since, you know? And maybe that is too much into politics, but it's like you can examine something, the fakeness of something, to death.
Yeah.
But once you...
Well, that David Hogg thing, that thing that happened at Parkland, and David Hogg's doing the Hitler salute, and you know that guy is, that little pencil neck, little twerp. Is he driving America mad now? Look, I don't mind America.
He's already off the picture. He's already off the page. It's already
gone.
It's already gone.
He better be.
It's already gone and forgotten about. It's crazy. It's down the memory hole, you know.
Yeah.
Just about. Syria comes up, and that's all gone now. So, you know, David Hogg's time in the light, I guess, is diminished. Until it comes out, 20 years, and he's running for mayor.
Seriously, if you guys ever give up your guns like we did in Australia, because we had a PSYOP down here, and we got all our guns taken off us, and look at where Australia is now. Look, there was never a problem before 1996 when they did the Martin Bryant, it was Port Arthur PSYOP. And now, like, we're disarmed. The only people that have got guns are the police. They're the only ones with guns, pretty much. I mean, there's a few gangsters, but not too many. Whereas America, if they get disarmed, we're all fucked. I think we're all fucked.
This is what I hear. This is what, like, the impression I hear from people in other countries. It's kind of like if America loses the First Amendment, if America loses the guns, that's pretty much like the nail that's holding some of this shit together.
Yes. Hold on to your fucking guns, for Christ's sake. Because I'm pissed off because I used to have a few guns, and I used to fire guns way back, and I knew not to point them at other people. All right, shoot at rabbits or shoot at fucking, you know, containers or whatnot, but not fucking people. But that fucking we've got Rick back. Rick back. Rick, do you remember the Port Arthur thing, man, and when we were disarmed? And
I didn't remember it. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did they get him out of you guys? Did you guys, what usually happens is everyone makes a big fuss, but really everyone just go turns them in willingly. Is that what happened?
Yeah, they just freaked everyone out with this shooting. And the, first of all, it was a one in Strathfield.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the Strathfield plaza thing. I was living in Sydney at the time, and they had actually posters up there, Time to Kill. Have you got time to kill, go to Strathfield.
What was his name?
He was from Newcastle too. He was from Newcastle.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I'll look it up. Strathfield.
Well, I was curious, just because I think, you know, if the disarming or whatever does come to America, I think people will just go turn him in. I mean, it's just how it is, you know? Like, they put up a big tough talk, but really... FDR called for all the gold to be turned in, and everyone went and turned it in. You know what I mean?
They did.
Walked their ass right in there to the Federal Reserve location, and they sent it in.
And gave it all to the big boys.
His name was Wade Frankham. It was Wade Frankham. It was 1991.
Yep. Yeah.
I remember it well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you guys, home invasions went off the chain, right? That's what I heard about. Australia was you had a new kind of crime developed called home invasion.
They still happen not far from where I am in a area where there's a lot of retired rural farmers and stuff like that, and they're getting home invasions because they moved out the government when the Olympics were held here. They relocated large sections of the how are we meant to say this? Aboriginal community. And they relocated them up to Kempsey and areas like that. And now Kempsey has the biggest home invasion statistics on the planet. It has terrible crime, ICE problems.
What is ICE in Australia?
Crystal meth.
That's big down
there, I guess. Yeah, yeah. But according to a couple of cops I know, that heroin's now flooding the market, so which I'm happy about because I'd rather heroin than meth. Apparently, dealing with a heroin addict is much more pleasant than dealing with a meth addict because the heroin addict tends to be asleep, whereas the meth addict's got the strength of 50 grand and jump. Yeah, never sleeps. So,
do you guys have the open oh, what's it called? Like the clinics and all that stuff? Is that down there?
Yeah, on your
social insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's not big here yet. There's some push, but America's so conservative in those ways that it's like
America's been smashed by the legal version of meth, the OxyContin, and
the heroin,
hillbilly heroin, or whatever they call it.
OxyContin and
America's a
pharmaceutical freaking
it's off
the hook. Well, guys, I just rolled up to the job site. It has been a really great talk to all of you guys.
Good speaking to you too.
Meeting you guys, so I'll talk to you guys later.
So you will, and you will.
Do you think the drug problem is big? Is it they like tell you in the news, or like they may exaggerate that too?
I don't know. I think it is bad. I mean, I used to travel up and down the north coast on the what I describe as the Feral Express mid-north coast train, which goes from mid-north coast down to Sydney, and it was full of ICE addicts all the time, and the staff on there had to deal with the issues that they were going through, you know, wanting to smoke all the time, and smoking's like pretty much illegal here. So I think it's as bad as they say. And I know a few people that work in psych clinics, so, you know, it's pretty bad as far as I can see anyway. I'm pretty experienced with that kind of thing. So I believe, yeah, it's as bad as they say, if not worse. And bats, I'll tell you now, New Zealand is a tiny, tiny little country, and they have a terrible problem with meth. It never existed when I was there, but it's now a huge issue. So, yeah, it's there. It's real. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, that's bad. It's bad. No two ways about it.
I haven't seen it too much first. I just know it's hard here to get prescription drugs because of the OxyContin problems.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get. Apparently, this is from what I can see, they're cracking down on OxyContin here.
Yeah, I mean, my brother has an actual prescription for it, and they always hassle him every time he goes in.
Yeah. Well, put it this way: when I go to get, if I've got the flu, and I go to get a flu, one of those, I can't remember the name of the thing that makes OxyContin, but there's a real, you've got to produce your driver's license to get a proper flu medication, something that would dry your nose up. You have to give your driver's license for here. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. I keep losing everyone. I don't know if it's my phone or not. Oh.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
What you were talking about there was pseudoephedrine.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's using the manufacture of ice. It's got nothing to do with oxycodone.
Yeah. And so that's a definite, not a pretend thing. You've got
to use big business. They call them Smurfs. Though. They have a whole bunch of people. That just go out and just buy it. Like go to heaps of different chemists and buy it.
That happened in New Zealand in the 80s and 90s, and I think it's pretty hard to get now, unless you've got prescription for. So that's real. I don't believe that's a fake thing.
Just because you're on fake college, it doesn't mean everything has to be fake.
No, but there's people on here that do believe most things are, so you've got to kind of back it up with experience, and I definitely support the fact that you cannot get pseudoephedrine without a driver's license.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of it's real. I just was wondering, because, U.S. always cracks down our different drug scares all the time, so I think some of that might be slightly manufactured in the news, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Alan Watt was talking about something last week or the week before, that 2 million hits of OxyContin were allowed in some small rural area of America.
It's like in West Virginia or someplace like that.
Yeah, that's it.
But in South Florida, they always come out with some weird thing like bath salts, those big fake black or something.
Yeah, that's here too. That's here. It's here in around the Newcastle area where Rollo is.
I've got a question, and this is something that the Americans we've got here, and Velocet might understand. So who was the guy that was arrested and put into Guantanamo Bay? The Australian guy after 9/11.
Yeah. He lives in Asheville. He's in.
That was the one that really pissed me off because now that we know that 9/11.
David.
Remember Dick Smith? Yeah. Dick Smith was backing him.
I know the story.
Fuck was his name? I'll just look it up.
David.
I know exactly who you're talking about. What's your opinion on Dick Smith, by the way? Like, he's a guy who's offering up his own money for people to suggest population solutions. Do you think he knows that there's no population problem, or...
Do you think he really buys into
the fact that we're...
I believe he believes what he's saying.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Do you reckon he's kind of a bit of a useful idiot? Like, he's an entrepreneur, but maybe not as smart as people give him credit for?
He has
a lot of trouble getting his voice heard in the media. He does his own films and television things to try and get on air.
Yeah, he came out and supported the... fruit and vegetable industries here big time, and I totally believe what he was saying, because the stuff he was talking about getting hold of locally produced
David Hicks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Dick Smith has his own version of Vegemite or whatever.
Yeah, I believe.
It's
nasty.
Yeah, me too. I
it tastes like an imitation.
I believe he believes what he's saying is right. I don't think he's pulling.
That's right. I met him once. He flew his own helicopter into my work.
Yeah, that's right. And he does fly his own helicopter around.
Yeah.
So, you know,
hopefully not as badly as Shirley Strawn.
No, you're a terrible man.
Oh, I am a terrible. I'm terrible, Muriel. Muriel, you're terrible.
So, are you guys in Australia? Are you across the Sydney fires that have been going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. The one, two kilometres away from me.
I've been staying defend the last 2 days. Ash coming down all around the place.
The one that hit Tatra. Could have easily been that 5G microwave thing because they reckon that this went ballistic really quickly. And if you know anything about that, I was with a company called Skilled Engineering in the 80s doing the servicing of those towers that they're building everywhere. And they said when you did the induction to work on the mobile phone towers, the microwave levels were really high and you needed to wear a special suit to go near them. And what they're saying, if you listen to the chemtrail gangs, is that these towers can be amped up and you can regionalise the small... What happened in... have you seen the footage of the posted about the trees in California that were burning from the inside?
No, I'm not familiar with it. So you're suggesting there's some sort of energy weapons here to start
fighting? Yeah, it's not a weapon, but basically they triangulate the cell towers to produce strong microwave in one area, and Tatra went up like you wouldn't believe, and I saw the footage of the trees that were burning from the inside and out that was in California, so I believe yes they could do that if they wanted to, with a 100%. So they can basically set a fire off in any region whatsoever, just triangulating it between three cell towers, turn the microwave levels up, and you've got your bushfire.
And what would be the point of that?
Causing chaos. Just cut it, utter chaos and unexplained, you know, catastrophic fires in areas that shouldn't have been burning. I mean, you just have to look at that footage of that tree burning from the inside out. I mean, I've never seen that in my life, and I've been around bushfires and stuff like that. You see a tree burning from the outside in, but not inside out with the bark on the outside untouched with the fire burning from the inside.
So your evidence is microwave ovens heat from the inside, that's the logic you're using there, I've been using microwave, it must heat from the inside.
I've been using microwave since they came out and that's how they work. And I did an induction on cell towers and we were told in that induction that you need to wear a special suit because these things will heat your body up.
Oh, they're useless, those things. The suits. Yeah. You know, with those, the theory there is that it's an insulating layer over the top of you, right? So the suits are made out of a metallic fiber. The problem is if you've got one little tiny gap in the suit, the radiation just comes in through that and bounces around inside. So they tend to do more harm than good if you're in close range.
That's right. But have you followed over the last 20 years, as I have, the Four Corners reports on microwaves?
No.
Well, I have. And I worked at Gore Hill in the 90s, and I got poisoned.
Yeah, there's a big tower there in Gore Hill. Yeah, three of them.
Right. Well, you remember what happened with the I think it was in Victoria, though, the cancer cluster that was happening in that one ABC building.
Yeah.
13 or so staff all get breast cancer. When they did the investigation into it, they kind of went all silent. Next thing you know, they demolished the building and removed all evidence of that building ASAP because you'll find that building had a big mast on top of it that was producing, you know, high-level signal that caused possibly, you know, because we are electric. I mean, I've spent a lot of time doing Chinese medicine, and I'm 100% in belief of, you know, we're an electric entity via acupuncture and them at various things. My experience at Gore Hill, I got poisoned. There was a company across the road from the Four Corners block where I was working on that people were complaining about being really sick and having a problem with digestive issues. And the Four Corners staff that I spoke to, because we all had to put our names down that we were, you know, working in this particular area, they could not find from with their legal team what was spilt across the road in the chemical factory across the road from the Gore Hill lab that we were working in. So I ended up taking charcoal, and it fixed my issues. But I totally think that Four Corners is just as blind or...
Yeah, blind and mainstream media. We've got Fakeologist has joined us. Ab, how you doing, brother? The guy that runs his site. G'day, Ab. How you doing?
Yeah, I think anyone listening knows.
Hey, guys.
G'day, Ab.
Hi, guys.
G'day, Rob. Hey, Rob.
Yes, Ab. Yeah, yes, you've Rob. Got Ag, you've got Rick. Rick from up there in Port Macquarie. Yeah. We've got Freya from, where's he? Where are you?
Florida,
and we've got Bellaset, who's in Sydney, and we've got me, who is in Newcastle. How you doing, Ab?
Good. How you been, Rolf?
Yeah, very well, very well. And we had a new voice the other day from Honolulu.
Yeah, I talked to the guy, Punaku.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy. So, yeah. So, great. Welcome, Ab. Yeah, we've been knocking around here for a little while, yeah.
Yeah, how's it been? How's everybody?
Yeah, good.
I'm good.
Yeah. Rollo's just being a figure eight, and I hate it.
Who hates me? Who said they hate me?
You.
Oh, good idea. Figure eight. Figure eight hate.
Problems in this chat today, or is it just an Aussie fun fest?
No, we're half and half. We've got three Australians and two Floridians.
I kind of got involved just because I wanted to say hello to my Australian brothers in the area, since I haven't for a while.
He's a 2GB stooge, Ab. He's a 2GB stooge. Don't trust him.
Yeah, don't forget, we don't listen to your radio here, so we have no idea what you're talking about.
You slut.
All right, that's great. Okay. Freya, where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Whereabouts?
Florida. It's just north of Miami.
Have you been to any of the rocket launches?
I think as a kid I might have seen one go up. I went to the Space Center, I haven't recently watched a rocket launch.
Awesome. Where was the Elon Musk car thing launched from?
I think most
the one
of those
happened a few weeks ago.
I think SpaceX launches in California.
Yeah. Okay. I just saw that the other day. I hadn't, of course, as a Fakeologist, I heard it and thought, here we go with another load of crap. But then I was listening to it and heard it mentioned in one of the podcasts recently. So I went and looked up the video. Oh, my God. David Bowie's Starman playing while they've got this fucking ridiculous Earth in the background and the red car flying through space with a dummy. And I'm like, what the people? They've got to be making this more ridiculous. They've got to be. Come on. This has gotten progressively more ridiculous.
They're trying to see how dumb people are, I think, and I think they're testing the depth of...
It has to be something like that, or they're trying to have a revelation and they're trying to make it obvious how stupid it is.
The faker it looks, the more realistic it is, according to Elon.
Maybe, yeah.
But even in his press conference, he said, I had an image, and then he giggles. He was giving it away there.
Yeah, well, it's just like the humble... hockey bus crash hoax. They show the truck with no damage and they say this is the truck. So they're just being, what is more powerful, the idea that the media is telling you this or that your own senses are telling you that it's not possible.
Yeah. I've enjoyed a lot of your coverage over the last few podcasts. It's been very good.
Thank you. Well, the best person covering it is Alpha Lex, and we'll have to get together with him and go through his mountain of posts. He has the patience of Job. He actually reads the Instagrams and the Facebooks, places that I would guess that nobody goes to look. It's not interesting, really, for any regular person to look into. But the fact that he goes in there, and he's probably looking at posts that really almost nobody sees. Because if these are Sims, then they don't have any friends. He's probably literally looking at areas that are just laid there for the five people that find them. It's almost like the most secret Easter egg hunt, where he finds little Easter eggs that nobody is even looking for. That's the way
That's the way this site works well, because there's lots of people with doing intricate things that other people wouldn't bother with, and then amalgamating it with other people's thoughts.
Yes.
So it's working out really well.
So you're suggesting that a lot of social media content is simulated as well?
For sure, definitely.
If it's a simulated person, then they'd have to make up all the social media just to show so-called evidence that the person exists.
Yeah, so you think, but you know how news programs on TV often recap social media? That's kind of what the news is doing these days, is just using social media as feeder information. Do you think a lot of that stuff has to be there so the media have something to search for?
It gives them what they want to say.
The intelligence agencies give the content. The media, the news readers, I'm sure they're aware that they're getting fed BS, but they're not making it up themselves.
No, I don't think they know they're getting fed bullshit at all. No.
Oh no, there's no way you can be doing a job.
If you're getting paid well, you'll say whatever you get told to say.
Oh, of course, but listen.
I agree with that sentiment, but I don't think in this. Like, I've worked in news, like in radio stations, I've worked in newsrooms. These people aren't bright people. They just know how to copy. It's called rip reading. They basically take your information from a few feeder sources. The people in newsrooms that aren't investigative journalists anymore, you know, they're not out in the field doing their own work. They just take it off a wire and stick it on the radio.
Yeah, we get everything from AP and Reuters, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's dripping water. Are they doing a water test?
I overdue for my bathroom break.
Okay. Yeah. You can't leave the stream to make a stream. So I would say that I think the intelligence agencies, they create the Sims, they create the social media profiles, and I think the media sincerely reads them and they sincerely are pointed to them. So in a sense, they're not lying. It's the people that create the stories, the fiction, that are the hoaxers. So.
Yeah, it's like a content network. You've just got your isolated head spitting out all the leads.
Yes. And content is almost always created from afar now. I just heard a story about all the small-town newspapers around North America. They can't afford to have a reporter. There's no advertising money. So they farm out. They'll take a concept. They'll take a story, and they will farm it out to India or the Philippines, where they're English-speaking people, very competent English-speaking people, and they will make them look into it because they make $5 a day. So they are ones that they'll call from the Philippines to get quotes, to get a little bit of background on the story. And
this started happening in the 80s, Ab, so you're right.
Yes, okay.
Well, ever since content started to be networked and you had, you know, network programming, and then all I had to worry about was local advertising and switching between the two.
Yes. Well, even the newspaper, I know a lot of people in the newspaper business, and even the people that used to cut and paste the newspapers, their job, the minute it became electronic, it went offshore. So the cut and paste was all done on PageMaker or whatever high-end page development software was out there, and it was done in India and places where they made a small fraction of what the locals made. And all the local people, all they would be doing is feeding the information overseas. They literally are sending the information, and then it comes back to them, and they might do a few final things to say it's made locally. That's how they make products, too. Almost everything is done overseas, and when it comes back here, they slap a label, and that's enough content, the label even, to say, oh, it's made here. So it's quite the deception, even in manufacturing.
I can see how that method would be quite effective when the stories are generally localized. I mean, international stories, the people overseas are going to be aware of it. But for most small local issues, like your hockey bus crash, I mean, the people looking for quotes or whatever on that stuff aren't going to know anything about it. It's not in their realm, not in their life.
Yeah, I would say the hockey bus crash is a fully developed PSYOP, though. That's not, I wouldn't say that's a small-time story. That is the most fully developed PSYOP I've ever seen here. And it's just, it's...
Why do you say that? What is it about it?
Oh, just the depth. We've never had such a large list of crisis actors ever. I can't even remember one where these people are so coached. And even if they're real people, I don't even know if they have real children. That's a mystery to me. I don't know all the mechanics. I get aggravated when people say, well, why is this, why is that? Well, I don't know. I didn't make up the story. I don't know exactly how they do it. But, yeah.
Ab, you're a truck driver, right? And you know when a thing gets T-boned, it looked as fake as fuck, didn't it?
T-boned, I know when I... Listen, all the trucks... Just like cars are made of plastic, okay? It's mostly plastic or weak, very light material. That's the only way they get the fuel mileage. If I accidentally hit a snowbank, as in I don't see it because it's too far below me, I'll crack my whole front end. That's how delicate it is. I've already done that. I already hit a small little berm below where I could see it, and it cracked a $1,000 piece of plastic, so I just ripped it off. And now I'm not going to buy it again because I don't want to hit another low piece of snow that I didn't see. So yeah, the point is, if you hit a bus, the whole tractor would be gone, as in pieces. It flies away, it shatters, it splinters. So yeah, of course, they didn't even bother to fake this one, which is what gall, what audacity. They didn't even bend the moose bars, for Christ's sake.
What stands out to me is the fact that, like, with a lot of these events, car rammings and what have you, it seems to point the finger at some bad guy, where when an event like this, it seems to be a harmless accident, you don't see them as often. Or maybe you do, and I'm just not paying attention to the news close enough. But to me, that seems off. Why now, you fake an accident?
Are you familiar with what we're talking about, Velasquez?
Yeah, but the thing is, Humble and Fred are having a go at you because you're questioning. You and Humble and Fred, right, used to get on. And now, what are they doing now?
Yeah.
What did you mean, am I familiar with it?
What's that, Velasquez?
I was saying, what did you mean, am I familiar with it? I've only heard, I haven't seen the actual story. I've only seen, I've only heard what you've said about it.
Oh, okay, no, I thought you were intimating that it was a minor event and it was just a crash. No, allegedly 15 or 16 people died. So this is a biggie. This is not just a regular...
No, that's what I mean. It's a big event, but it's not. There's no one to blame for this one. It's not a crazy, evil Muslim terrorist ramming a car or something. This is just a pure chance accident where lots of lives are lost. And that's where I agree with Dave J on the spiritual murdering side of things, and I wonder why you would have an event where no one's to blame.
Well, with the GoFundMe at $10 million, it'd be about money.
Oh, yes. You can... There, you don't have to have every element of a PSYOP present to make it a real PSYOP. If this is just a massive fundraising campaign for maybe a small town place where there's not a lot of money floating around, and or combine it with the lagging and flagging professional sports ratings where the young people are moving away from the television and record numbers. I heard up to 25% of all Canadians have cut their cable and are getting everything by the internet now. Those are pretty big numbers. When you know that the average cable bill used to be $50 to $100 a month, but that's pretty big revenue. Now, I know most of these people have flipped over to $100 a month internet, so it's not a total loss, but funny.
The traditional cable broadcast model is dying out anyway because it's real time. Most people these days, like here in Australia, Foxtel is our cable provider.
That's right.
So you have a little box, and most people record and watch back later anyway on demand. So the idea of actually broadcasting it live doesn't make sense in the first place because people want convenience of on demand. So
Well, the only relevant thing,
if they haven't kept with the business model, it's going to die out. Yeah?
The only relevant thing for live is sports. The only thing people
Exactly. And that's what keeps them alive at the moment.
And that's right. I think that's not working out very well either right now. I think it's dying off too. It's probably on a very steep downward trend. So maybe this hockey thing was right before the playoffs, which is their most lucrative time of the year. Mm. So perhaps this is like
this is an opening ceremony. But Humble and Fred said, "How dare you? How dare you say that, Ab? Or even question?"
Yes. Yeah. How dare you? Well, we've heard that every time, haven't we? How dare I look at a truck and wonder why there's not even a scratch on it? We're told it took out a bus and killed 16 people. How dare I use my senses? That's crazy.
When you use it to them, are they broadcasting out of a private place? Like not they're not in a radio station, are they? They're in a private, like a Joe Rogan station, aren't they?
He created his own studio and his own apartment, so...
Satellite can't afford now the infrastructure in hosting everyone in premise. So they have a lot of people just, you know, ISDN or dial in to provide content. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Maybe one day we'll have Fakeologists. They'll just send you a box and you can feed it in and onboard it to their system.
Yeah.
Be on satellite.
I've said before, we're all on the playing field has been totally leveled now. We're all on the same level. So there's no reason why Velocit can't broadcast to the world now. You don't need a network. There is no network required. We have the network. It's called the internet. The only challenge is, like everyone else, how do you get found? That's it. That's the only difference. Once you're found, and if you're any good, you'll spread. That's it. Mm-hmm. You don't need to put up a billboard anymore. The model
you don't
is dead.
Need Humble and Fred to say, "Oh, I'm a at fakeologist.com is rubbish." Yeah, don't believe that guy.
Yes.
Go to the website.
I was upset with the way. But you gave back as good as you got. You know, he gave you. That's the thing. We've got the ability now that you can punch back. It's not like when they can only punch one way and you.
Well, you have Fox and CNN
punching you.
He broadcast John Law attacking you. And John Laws is the one that looks like the fool, not you. He looks like a bully.
Me, yeah.
Well, and only because you could rebroadcast and you could comment on it, and you could send that clip back to him. Shove it right up his keister.
Shove his, 1-300-564-652-BN. Yeah.
Now listen to me, you blockheaded bastard.
Thank you.
Listen to me, Rollo. Rollo, I know you like my rodeo style, Rollo.
Rodeo, because he got a little
rodeo.
Bit.
I like.
Yeah, he didn't say rodeo, he said rodeo. Yeah. Rodeo.
He was even making fun of your name, which is just a pleasant short form for your actual name. Why would he make fun of that? That's ad hominem, which just shows he has no argument.
It is. Because he's a coward. I'll call him a coward. Look, if he wants to call me a coward, I'll call him a coward. And look, I'll keep ringing him and until I get him and Delqua will record it. If all I did was get one thing wrong, I didn't get fakeologist.com out there. You said to me, I should have said fakeologist.com two or three more times, right?
Yeah, you just
it was when who's that guy in the wheelchair? I forgot his name. Fuck already.
Hawking.
I forgot his name. Yeah. The guy in the wheelchair that they wheel out on cue.
Hawking.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
That was the thing, you know. All it was all I wanted to do was just have a few comments because Tom Dalper lives in where met him and I just wanted to have a nice conversation. And he went on the attack and then I went on the attack back
And then he goes and calls me a blockheaded bastard, blah, 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 this, that, and the other, piss off, hangs up on me, and then calls me a coward afterwards.
Did you hear it, Ballison? Did you hear the clip?
Yeah, I've talked about it on this stream, and I've got a little bit. I'm going to call him up soon. I've got a bit in the works. I've got a button bar of Rollo's voice, so I'm going to do some classic Howard Stern prank calls. But just on that topic, I heard your Stephen Hawking thing the next day where you had the Microsoft Sam voice doing him, and I've got to say, like, if there was a Venn diagram and one circle was sort of truth or act realm and the other circle was good Howard Stern imitators, you'd be right there in the middle, Ab. Perfect combination of the two. you do a good job.
I found that on a website. That wasn't a great voice, but I was typing as fast as I could.
It was close enough. It was good.
I'm looking forward to your soundboard thing. So you're taking Rollo clips and you're gonna punch them at him.
I've got a few different ideas. I'll do some impersonations as well of him or cut his voice. I don't know. I've just got some ideas in the works. But you and I'll have to have a catch up. I've got some radio ideas for you that I'd like to run by you and see if there's some stuff you want to implement on your station. Okay. So we'll have to have a little catch up about that later.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love it. Yeah, for sure. We'll do that. Definitely. What you should do is, I like when Howard Stern cuts up the guy who's calling voice. So, for instance, he'll take John Law's clips and play
it. And then six months later, do it back again. Yeah. Yep.
No, play it back at him. So when John Law calls him an idiot, he can punch up a recording where John Law's calling him John Law's an idiot with his own voice, that kind of thing.
That's what I mean. But, what are two? Richard and Sal, they'll interview someone doing that radio bit, and then they'll wait 6 months and interview them again, but use their own voice back on them, and they'll argue with themselves.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. I have to admit, I know that takes forever to do, and they have some of the funniest bits. And some of the funniest bits are actually with just regular people that they call up. One of my favorite bits is where they'll call a woman selling something, and then they have some really bad echo on the line, and then just keep asking her the same question, and it's just amazing how patient that some of these.
Or when they put a rock concert in the background and they pretend they can't hear and they'll go, what, like $10? No, $100. I'll give you $400. And,
Yes, I heard that.
Most people in Australia have no idea who Howard Stern is, but just because I'm in radio, I've been listening since 2011 and I've got every archive of Sirius and I just listen to them whenever I got free time. Like, I love that stuff. And I don't mind listening to all the stuff too, because a lot of it, you don't really need to be in the right time frame, you know, to enjoy it.
Yeah, he proved that his biggest accomplishment is he proved that morning radio doesn't have to be local. You don't need local network weather.
Yep.
You can just broadcast entertaining stuff and run it for hours, and people will not care that they're not getting traffic and weather together on the ones, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, all that stuff's networked. You can just
I'm just looking in the chat. Coinophile just said, you're never going to be a broadcaster in two lifetimes, Rollo. I'm pretty sure that's what John Lord said to me. You're not going to be a broadcaster in two lifetimes.
I'm a broadcaster, though. That's the stupid part. You are a broadcaster.
I am, aren't I?
You only need to buy the microphone, and then you're a broadcaster, technically.
Yeah. Thank you, Chronophile, for that remark. Yeah. Keep going, guys.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah, we've got an integrated broadcast. We've got text chat going at the same time, and this is off the cuff, on the fly. This is the best of all worlds, I think.
No, well, that's the whole podcast thing has had a research. Like when podcasts first came out, it was sold along with the iPod, right? They marketed the two ideas together. The problem was it died out very quickly because people still had to download the stuff on their computer and sync up. It was a pain in the ass. So you had this period where it took off initially, and most of the podcasts out there were just radio shows reposting. So then when the iPhone came along and mobile data started to get cheaper and you were connected to, as you say, the global network, it started to have a resurgence in the last 5 or 6 years, and now people, your everyman can actually buy a microphone and start putting out original content. So I think there's a lot to be said for the podcast on-demand medium. But there's also a lot where, with the satellite kind of model, where you're still hearing live interactive content, you can call in and be part of it. So I think that's where you've got an advantage, even though it's a very small subsection of belief and content, you still have the live and on-demand aspects covered. And that's where I'm going with what I want to talk to you about. So we'll get to that another time. But yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, yeah, well, people can, if people are aware, they could listen to this, what we're talking about, live on their streaming device in their car. They could stream this in their car through their stereo system, through Bluetooth. Yeah, this could be live every morning if we were around and people want to stream it on the way to work, for sure. Yes.
I think where Stern made the biggest mistake was re-signing in 2011. I think he didn't keep up with the times. Like, it was a good move at the time to go to Sirius, where he was uncensored and he could have his own channels. But after the first five-year contract, renewing in 2011, that's when Webb had started to have the resurgence. So I think he would have been wise to sort of fund his own studio and do it his own way on a subscription model at the time.
Yeah, maybe.
And you notice his popularity's dropped and he's sucking up to celebrities these days. It's not the same everyman content that it used to be.
Yeah, but he's also older, so you just can't keep the pace up when you get older. You just can't.
No, he's in his 60s now. Don't blame him.
Yeah, and you're not as interested in being relevant, really, because people change. It's hard to stay relevant, and generations do change, and they turn off, and they're not on certain devices. They're not listening to the radio maybe in the same way. So, yeah, he could have, but I think he just got a pretty big paycheck, and it's a lot easier to take it than to necessarily be innovative. And just don't forget, the Sirius simulated satellite radio, they had to wait until at least 10 years before there was pretty decent infiltration into cars. You can't just say to a manufacturer, put this radio in your car. It doesn't work that way. It does take time. And it took way longer than they probably even had in terms of time. Mm. And
once they got him, though, look how successful the model was. The amount of people that ripped XM out of the cars, and the manufacturers eventually had to start putting in Sirius, and then they just merged anyway. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty amazing achievement. So.
I don't believe any of the numbers. So I'm sorry to say,
that's just corporate statistics.
They're not accountable to anybody. There's no one counting.
Private contractor kind of stuff. Yeah.
No. He is successful, no doubt. But I don't believe. I never believe the numbers anymore. I can't. I really can't. I can't believe.
Maybe I've just got a soft spot for old Howie, and I can't see it.
Well, I've been off him for years. I haven't listened, honestly. I just don't have the patience. I don't have the patience.
Well, like I said, I like the older stuff in his heyday, not so much the anything going
on. And now I know that he's... I've liked the long-form interviews. I find them pretty good. But I'm not interested in these celebrities anymore. I don't care. I don't care about one thing they say. And that's a problem. And knowing that Howard's lying all the time, this really hurts. Because, of course, his whole mantra was, I'm always being honest with you. And knowing that he says that and then lies. I'm honest, I lie. I'm honest, I lie. I can't stand that conflict in my mind every single time he opens his mouth. That's a huge problem. We know he's a liar. We know he's a shill for the media. And how can you not be? They feed you. And same with Humboldt and Dredd. I don't know how much they get from the satellite radio for broadcasting the show. They might not get anything. They might just be allowed to broadcast to get publicity. I really don't know. But
is their show being heard from satellite?
Yes, they sell their show or they are buying airtime. I don't know which way it goes.
It's syndicated on FM and also on Sirius Nationwide.
No. It's on Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio on their comedy. There's a Canadian comedy channel that's broadcast around North America. And they're only on from 7 to 9. I don't know if they pay them or they get paid. I almost think they pay them or it might be just an exchange.
It'd just be a free content contra arrangement, I'd say. If they've got other avenues for money, then yeah.
Well, they only raise money from private commercial advertisers, you see. And I guess those commercial advertisers get play on the simulated satellite radio, and that's where they benefit. So more people could potentially hear. But I think, I'm pretty sure with the, I don't think the simulated satellite radio is two-way. So I don't even know, I don't even think they know if you're tuned in to a certain channel. I'm almost going to say they don't. It's not two-way. So I don't think they know
Yeah, it couldn't be. If it was two-way, how do you think that would work? Like, you would have to have... Can you think of a mechanism that would allow that to happen? Like,
no. That's why Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio, they push their app, their internet app. Now, the internet app, of course, knows how many streams are going out. That they do know. So they're. I think the whole reason why Simulated Satellite Radio was allowed to work in the first place is digital. When you can cram 100 low-quality bitrate stations on one data dump.
One frequency carries a multiplex of hundreds,
Yes. It's the digital multiplexing that allows it. So the quality that comes down is probably quite low, but the variety is what sells it. But
most voice channels would run at probably 64K each. Like, I mean, here in Australia, we have digital radio, which is terrestrially transmitted, but we can fit. Most stations here in Sydney are on one transmitter carrying 20, 30 stations.
Okay. Yeah, so you can dump a lot. When it's digital, you can pack a lot into one frequency where you could not do that with analog. And that's why simulated satellite radio came on when it did. To me, it's similar to DNA. As soon as computers could start counting every little characteristic of a drop of blood, they called that DNA. Because a computer can see and smell and record things in a very, very microscopic way that a human or an analog test could not. And they called that DNA. I think when computers got cheaper and high-powered, they literally call whatever they do something else, something magical. Because I don't think there is DNA, but I think a computer can... say, take a drop of blood and identify 10,000 things about it that may be unique to that drop of blood compared to your drop of blood. See what I'm saying?
Right, okay. So, yeah.
Whereas if you just did a regular
blood test... That's an interesting idea, that.
Yeah, if you just did a regular blood test before computers, you could only probably see different things on a very large scale.
So, yeah, like a plate count or AB, B negative, whatever, but that's about it.
Yeah, you couldn't see all the super details.
So it's a resolution and being able to quantify.
Can I butt in, guys? Can I butt in?
Yeah.
All right. Let's change the subject just for a little bit. Simon Shack's just released a new book, right? And he's managed to piss John LeBon off. Like, let me read this. John, your long post above is peppered with words like moronic, pubescent, poorly raised children, and cretins. I'd like to say, this is Simon Shack talking here, that each one of those epithets can just be well applicable to you and your antics. See, I had the misfortune to bump into your video in brackets, coincidentally published on March 21st, i.e. the very same day as I published my Tykos website, moronically titled Simon Shack's Tykos model, Crowley and Cyrus. As it is, when Googling in quotes, Tykos model Simon Shack, your silly video, in fact, as many four different links to it now appear at the top of the search, while my Tykos website comes up number 5 in the search. Great job, John. I don't think I need to explain to your in brackets seemingly well-schooled baby brain why it makes me think you're up to no good. Moreover, your claim Tycho Brahe never existed ranks amongst the most cretinous things I've ever read or heard on the internet. So excuse my French from now on. I will refer you as John LeCon. Sincerely yours, Simon Shack.
He sounds a little butthurt over SEO.
There's some butthurt that's going on there, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty directed to the point, huh? Yeah, I just love the different interactions between people. You never know who's not going to get on or who's going to get on. It's just amazing.
In full disclosure, I just spent 3 days up on the coast with JLB.
As part of his website, we'd arranged a bit of a getaway, so I drove up and he drove down from Brisbane.
Uh-huh.
And had a good time.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
I like Aussie Roundtable. Don't get me wrong, but I've got a massive respect for Simon Schack. So I know media, and you know what you do in media? You ignore people. If you want to
be the bigger person,
something's pissing you off. Ignore it. Ignore. It's just do it. Ignore.
Yeah. Let it go.
But do you think maybe this whole Tykos model thing and the reason he's getting butthurt is because he expects it to be the next September Clues? He expects the fame and adoration that he got for that? I don't know.
I need Guy here to help me out with this one.
Guy's going to be here. You cannot say that, you know? Listen, the model, it could be real, you know? I don't know.
Naya, fantastic. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you. I'm back. But guys, I'm leaving. I'm leaving psychologist now. I'll be back tomorrow. But I'm leaving forever, but I'll be back tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, no. Guy has left so many times, I don't know if he's still on. Or I can't keep track.
Well, that's so funny. Yeah.
That's really good. Priya, what do you have to say about all this?
About the Tykos, I'm just not sure because like, I learned satellites weren't real probably from Clues Forum. So I'm just kind of wondering like why he now uses any science for his new model. Like, without looking more into it.
Science. I think he's just looking up at the stars. I'm not a stargazer.
I think he's doing that too, but then he like links to a lot of astronomy stuff. So I haven't read the book though, so I can't really like.
Fair that you should read the book. I agree. I just got a copy of the book and it's free to all fakeologists. Just email Simon and he'll give it to you.
Okay.
But if you say you heard it on fakeologists, go email him at simon.shack@libero.it for Italy. And yeah, he'll give it to you. But as far as I know, he's just trying to explain the movement of the stars. And not too many people go into that at all, including all the flat earthers. They never talk about the stars. They actually never talk about anything that's advancing the movement. That's my problem with it. And I'm wondering if this might be hard to believe, but maybe Simon hasn't made it a secret that he's working on a new cosmology for the last 5 years, so maybe the whole flat Earth thing is just a smokescreen to cover up for his new model that is a better explanation of the movement of the stars. He's not talking about the shape of the Earth at all. He's just explaining the movement of the stars. And we can all look at the movement of the stars, if anyone cares to look, which I don't think anyone or a very small fraction of the world actually watches and records the movement of the stars. I don't think that's a thing that people do now. They have no idea. I'm ignorant of the movement of the stars. I'm ignorant of most constellations. And therefore, I don't have a big interest in it either. But maybe this is a big deal. If he is right, maybe he will blow up. If he blows up the Copernican model of the movement of the stars, maybe that will open up to serious astronomers, and if there's such thing as a serious astrophysicist, to questioning what they're seeing and talking about. And maybe they'll start questioning other things.
I wouldn't hold anything against him for questioning the whole heliocentric model. I think we know that's all a bit of a joke, because you know, once we uncover the space thing, it all starts to become quite obvious. And I wouldn't even hold anything against an early flat earther for just going out there and suggesting that things might be different to what we think. Good on. But Rollo, when you say that Simon Schack is annoyed or butthurt that JLB is suggesting that Tycho Brahe doesn't exist, do you have any evidence that he does exist?
Again, this is why I need Guy here and John LeBon. His green light's on. I wish John LeBon would come in right now and Simon Schack would be here and go back and forward I don't want to
do psychologist promos every 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, John Laws. I can imagine John Laws and say Darren Hinch going back and forth. No, I just I don't know enough about the subject, but I do know when John LeBron, he can get under anyone's skin. He got under mine many times. So. That he's managed to get under bloody, I would have just, like I said, I would have ignored it if I was Simon Shaq, but there you go. He didn't.
If you had asked me 2 years ago, when I watched September Clues, do you think I would ever, be in a forum where these people hang around? I probably would have said no. I wouldn't have thought these people, you know, you could even speak to them. I thought they were more of an anonymous figure. It's only since I've realized Fakeologist was there and that's where a lot of this stuff has started.
Sure.
So I started listening and sort of revealing the history of it. So, I mean, I was a big YouTube person, and I knew about JLB's website, and I'd heard of Fakeologist, but I never realized it was actually a whole, you know, community to itself. So I haven't really been involved with this for the last 6 months or
so. It was Ab that got me first into it. It was Ab with his 2 4-hour chats with Simon Shaq, talking about September Clues that made me... love this site. I love this site, and every new voice I find, I found a guy the other night from Honolulu, and a couple of Freemasons the other night, and
community spirit, Rollo.
Yeah, hey Ab, I'll never leave. I'm going to troll this site for the rest of my life. As long as
Trollo, we call you. Trollo.
Yeah, Lord Trollo. Lord Trollo. That was the voice. They called Badazir and Dusty hey, Lord Ash. Call me Lord Trollo.
Have we given you enough credit this week? I don't want
to... I've been given more than enough credit.
I don't want to short you this week. I know you were complaining.
I don't want to feel unappreciated, Ab. No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Are you good, though? But this week, are you topped up? Can we go...
I'm topped up. Thank you. I'm topped up. Thank you.
good. No, I do appreciate your fandom. We can never... Yeah. We can never minimize fandom, even if it can be annoying to some people.
Yeah, well, the word for fandom or fanatic, is a troubling thing sometimes for some people.
Or lunatic.
I don't think
that most people or most stars, they don't really like they're afraid of their fans. They don't want them around. I think they can be dangerous a lot of ways.
Most celebrities have a group of friends who seem to be hangers-on, but they know not to lord the person. I think you'll find most celebrities have a small group of people who just know to play it straight and not make a big deal of it. And the celebrities attract those kinds of people and keep them around for that reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why John Laws has a group of people around him. And when I got that photo with him in 2007, when I thought he was going to retire, even though all he did was play out his, what was it, his 2-year contract till 2011, then went to 2SM. So, yeah, what's it called? You have this group of people that just keep, there's actually a TV show called
Entourage.
Contourage, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, man, Velocet. Yeah, you had that around you. And to keep, what do you call it? I'm never looking for fame. Ab's not looking for fame. Velocet,
I don't have it.
I just want the truth. I just want the truth. I don't want fame. I just want the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ab doesn't put his face out there. He doesn't want it. And Val said, I don't know what you look like either. Unless you... Come on, Taser.
And I don't want
to... Just because you put a post out, that doesn't mean I have to.
That's good.
I don't
want to
know what Rollo looks like, but he keeps putting all this...
makeup on. Yeah, that's right.
I'm the opposite of Rollo. I don't want to know what Rollo looks like.
That's good. You're a funny guy, Ab.
He keeps insisting...
Well, I keep finding new voices for you, so as long as I keep doing that, that's you'll be happy, right?
I talked to Pono Koo yesterday. We're going to try and get together. Thanks to you.
Oh, shit. John Laws is on the phone. Hold on a sec.
1-800-296.
You know, Abbott, it's 1-300 John Laws. I don't know why Rollo keeps saying all the numbers. It's just 1-300 John Laws. It spells it out, but he keeps saying the numbers for some reason.
No, I know. Ridiculous. Why is he doing that?
More airtime. It's longer to say.
Oh, he wants airtime. Now, that troll will be something else.
Sorry about that. That was Lawsy on the phone. No, it's on the fuck off. But there you go. 1-300 John Laws. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that, Bellaset. You've worked in radio. You know how it works.
Yeah. How many, you asked him about his producers and handmaidens. How many of those do you think he has?
I think he's got about five or six handmaidens. And,
what leads you to that conclusion?
I don't know. They're the ones that don't want to be known.
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if there were more than two people behind the scenes on that show.
On 2SM? No. 2SM. No.
I think you'd be out of touch with the budgets and how this stuff works. You don't need that many people. You don't.
Seriously, Velocet, look. Listen to me. I rang him. Oh, for fuck's sake, he's on the phone again. Yeah,
he's ringing you.
What is your number? 1-800-CALL-ROLO? I mean, maybe everyone's calling in. Very busy. It's Rolo fan calling in.
What type of phone's he got? It's very old school sounding.
Yeah. Forgive me, I'm digging my truck out of the snow right now.
Maybe he doesn't have that many producers. Ab is his only, your only producer, right, Ab?
Yeah.
You didn't have,
I heard you both arguing about how many people listen to his show. 2SM is not what it used to be. So, you know, like, not that many people would be listening to him. 2GB and 2UE.
Who's listening to that? Oh, good Lord. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hung up. We have 2HD. I'm talking AM here. In Sydney, Bellaset, you must know, there's how many FM stations are there in?
You can go get a ratings book and look up according to the ratings polls that they pay to do that. You can see it's not, you were saying like 2 million or something. There's only 20 million people in Sydney. He'd probably get a few thousand listeners in Sydney.
True.
And then he's networked regionally. So he's
and they're all younger. Older people too, older people.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's his generation that listened to that are dying off. So it's, you know, his whole 2SM research, he was, when he left 2UE and all that, he was already sort of, you know, put out to pasture. He just had to wait for that contract to be up so he could come and sign with Corrales. Right. And then it was just a retirement plan. He was broadcasting out of the boardroom. I just set him up a big chair in the boardroom and sat him in there.
Yeah.
It's chairman of the board. Radio, isn't it? It's radio. It's over for radio and television, isn't it? Really.
No, I
think that's where you're already sitting on a gold mine as far as the content and the audience is concerned. You just need to capitalize on growing it a bit, I think. Like, I mean, you're the future. In 10 years' time, what you're doing now is going to be what everyone's doing. So,
well, my market is pretty unique because
yes.
Nobody will want to compete with me. Who wants to talk about this? Nobody. No one wants to talk about this stuff. So it's not like I'm going to have 80 competitors next week. I'll have some what I would call detractors or people that are trying to, I would say, obfuscate what I'm doing, and that's what we see all the time. Like Vice Network will come on and start making fun of people talking like we do and mocking us, but I don't think...
Oh, well, that's like Vice interviewing that. What's the dude from England, the Flat Earth one? He was on Vice.
But I don't think I'll have any direct knockoffs because nobody wants to talk about this stuff.
I'm good.
Your niche market is already there.
Yeah. There will be no fakeologist radio because nobody wants to talk about this. Maybe one day people start talking about it. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know. I've always been putting in my post lately. What's going to come first?
Here you come, Abby. Here you come.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Who did that rubbish soundbite? That would have been Bellicent, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Bella said, I haven't put your moon one up yet because I didn't feel... I have to add a third one to the rotation, but I do have that in the hopper of things to do. I don't have
I'll
a good way of...
I'll have to make a few more for you. I like that one, though. That's what it's all about. I mean, in the world of fakery, 9/11 was just another big chapter marker, wasn't it? In all the different events, 9/11 is just a big chapter. So...
No doubt.
Yeah, that's why I started thinking of it like that. Like when you have all this esoteric stuff going on, to me, like whatever the symbolism in that is, the dual pillars to one pillar, all that kind of stuff, it's like they're marking chapters. They're telling us we're entering some new age of what we're going to be doing. So.
Oh, totally. What I was saying, though, was what is going to come first? Are we going to lose the ability to tell the truth to people? Or are people going to finally realize the truth of the media? That's what the race is right now. The race is...
Whoa.
We have the ability to communicate worldwide without really any licensing. Our biggest issue is the same as all other media, and that is how do you get found in an infinite channel universe? Okay, so what are we going to lose our ability to broadcast, speak, tell the truth? What's going to come first? A critical mass of people will know what's going on, or are we going to lose our ability to spread what we think is going on? That is, to me, the real question.
Well, as JLB would say, these are the people that gave us the technology in the first place, so I think there is some kind of revelation that could happen. Could happen. I mean, with that SpaceX car, you got to wonder.
Yes. That's the real meaning of the word apocalypse, isn't it? I always thought apocalypse something awful, but it's really...
Well, that's what we've been primed to think. I mean, JLB pointed that out to me. I thought, that's interesting, isn't it?
The apocalypse is the revealing of the truth, which, that's the total opposite of what I thought it meant. So, good on JLB for letting us know. So
I've got to go.
Just before I go, Val said, sorry to cut you off, mate.
You're right.
But I've just posted the Lawsy tribute when he was retiring from TUE. Can you play that at the end of this when you make this into an MP3, right? Play this at the end and see if anyone can listen to this without vomiting, especially you, Val said. So I've put it there. It's in the general unverified there. When Lawsy was retiring from TUE, this was, I didn't do this, but I know how it was done. It's a vomitous, Lawsy's gone forever. You know, he's retiring. You know, the greatest guy that ever lived. Greatest thing that ever since sliced bread. You know, sliced bread guy. So there you go. I put it there. So, if you can put it at the end of this this chat, I've got to go. So it's been...
Put it in show notes. But I don't think anyone gives a rat's behind it.
No. I just think it might be fun just to put it at the end. It only goes for about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, but that's a lifetime.
If it's at the end, people can turn off. I don't need to listen if I don't want.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you, Velocet. Lovely to talk to you, Ab and Maria. And we've had who else here earlier?
Exoteric 64.
Exoteric 64 and who else? Look, whoever I forgot. They know who they are. They know who they are. But it's lovely to talk to you guys. And, fakeologist.com forever. When it comes to, for me.
You're good, man.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
See you, Rollo.
Bye, Rolls. There goes Rollo from Newcastle, Australia, near Sydney. What a guy.
Still a few hours away.
I can hardly say a bad word about Rollo. I know he's very controversial, but I think as many people like him as don't like him, which means that he's an okay figure. If equal numbers of people on both sides hate you or like you, you're doing the right thing.
No such thing as bad publicity, right?
That's right.
Oh, could I get a verified?
Yeah, who's this? Freya?
Freya?
Of course. Let me just fix you up. Can you do a bumper? That's how you get verified. You have to do a bumper.
Oh, really?
We'll count you in. 3, 2, 1.
Go ahead, Freya.
Oh, what's
counting
the bumper,
into the bumper?
Like, what is
it? It is under the.
You can repeat back. This is Freya, and you're listening to the Fakeologist audio chat on fakeologist.com.
That's it. Go ahead, Freya.
This is Freya, and you're listening to Fakeologist audio chat on fakeologist.com.
Wow, first time. Beautiful.
The only problem is you didn't tell us where you're from. This is Freya
This is Freya from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the Fakeologist audio chat on fakeologist.com.
Yeah. That was, try it again. You almost have to read the script, unfortunately.
Okay, but where do you have the script at?
It's on the live, if you go to the text channel called Live Stream Chat and click on the pin. There's the pinned notes.
Oh, okay, I can see that now.
Yeah, even I have to read these things. And try and get a little closer to your mic as well, please, and thank you.
Hi, this is Freya from Florida, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Very nice. Thank you very much. I just have to remember what time you left that, but that's fantastic. Thank you so much. Is fall approaching, or you're in the middle of fall in Australia, guys, right now?
No, we're just out of summer.
Right, so you're in fall now.
So our clocks just returned to normal. We were just talking earlier, we had some big bushfires here. I've been, I live in the southern part of Sydney,
yep.
And we've had this massive bushfire outbreak not too far from where I live, and over a few days, it's just gotten bigger and bigger, and there's a huge fire front headed right towards where I live. So all our neighbourhoods pretty much, you know, had all buckets of water and hoses ready and having to, you know, watch ash and look for embers to put out. Yeah, it's been pretty scary, really. I did a few radio spots. Because I worked in radio, I knew a few people, so I was on our government broadcaster giving some interviews of what was going on the ground. But luckily, yeah, the weather's changed and it got a bit more humid and cold and it's slowed right down. But they still had planes and helicopters dumping water pretty much nonstop, not too far from where I am. I think Exoteric 64 was suggesting that it's triangulation of cell towers that starts the fires. They find an area and focus weaponized energy out of cell towers to start the fire. I'm not so sure if I'm into that train of thought, but
or they could just light a match.
Yeah, you could do that too, I guess.
Yeah, he was mentioning some tree that like burned from the inside out, but
I think you'll find most trees in big fires will burn from the inside out. So the heat is very intense. It's not necessarily a flame that lights the tree on fire. It can just be the heat, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think there would be other reasons for that to happen besides cell towers.
While I'm skeptical of things, I'm not so sure the people are literally trying to light fires and burn our houses down. Although there is a Catholic school up the road from here, and I would have liked to take my camera, because at that school went up, you don't often get the opportunity to take a photo of a burning cross, do you? I don't know, I'm just glad it's all over. I don't think anything more is going to happen, not for a little while. So, Free, have you done any interviews with Ab or Rollo or anyone yet on Fakeologist?
No interviews with Ab. I've talked to Rollo twice now.
Okay.
So, you want to ask anyone to get on and we'll hop on, talk to them?
Yeah. Do you want to give us a bit of your backstory when you sort of first became aware of media fakery?
Yeah, I mean, I always doubted the government for like years now, but I never really knew about media fakery until past year. You know, someone mentioned that Alex Jones didn't believe in Sandy Hook. I never looked at Sandy Hook. So I was like, well, I didn't know people didn't believe in it, so I'll go look at that. And then I did went to Reddit conspiracy, finally found clues for him, found my way here to fakeologist.
Yeah. So how old are you now?
I'm 32.
Okay. Is this in the last few years you've sort of cottoned onto this stuff?
I mean, I always like thought maybe 9/11 was an inside job, or like, you know, the government's lying to us about.
But would you say it was mostly sort of surface conspiracy that maybe Bush killed a bunch of people for oil money or something?
Yeah, I mean, I had read about the CIA messing with other countries a bunch, stuff like that. But I was too busy with work and life to even, like, you know, really research anything.
Yeah.
Then I became unemployed, like, last year for a bit, and that's when I had a lot of free time to, like, just do tons of reading and research. And I went through, like, all the dumb conspiracy theories to, like, I finally just found out things were fake.
Mm. No, I think that's what it's like for a lot of people. I was unemployed for a bit as well. And I think, yeah, that's when you sort of have time to look into a lot of this stuff. When you're just on the hamster wheel doing the day-to-day, you don't really have time to think about that kind of stuff. It's just part of the world with which you're presented.
Yeah, I mean, with Sandy Hook, that was the first one I figured out was fake. I just couldn't get my head around the idea that crime scene wouldn't be real, I guess, until I actually researched it.
So, I think amongst a lot of fakeologists, there's probably, even before they realized a lot of that stuff, there was probably a bit of anti-government sort of sentiment there.
Yeah,
I think a lot of this exploration comes from that kind of viewpoint on life.
A bit more libertarian, I guess. But now I realize that's like, they don't understand fakeology either, so it's kind of no real point in any.
It's just another belief system to buy into, isn't it?
It is.
So after 9/11 and Sandy Hook, where'd you go from there?
Well, I didn't even know about September clues at that point. It took me to look at, you know, like Sandy Hook in the night, the Boston bombing, and then I looked at a lot of the normal conspiracy theories that they still thought weren't fake, I guess. Like, I think the mainstream, like, they'll think that Sandy Hook and Boston bombing might be fake, but they'll still think the other stuff's real. So it took me a bit more to figure out that everything was fake. But I went through, I guess, what would be the normal theory on, like, JFK or all the different 9/11 ones or, like, stuff like that. I researched the moon and NASA stuff. That's how I found clues for them, because I really thought NASA fakery was interesting.
Yeah.
So I released, like, space, so learning that was fake was pretty fun.
Did you think it was a hard Band-Aid to rip off, or?
Not too bad, because I recently, I was in Washington, D.C. for a concert, and I went to the Space Museum, and I do make costumes as a hobby, so I saw the moon lander, and I'm like, that thing looks like a piece of shit. I knew it was just like a mock-up they had, but I'm like, they tried to make it realistic, and I'm like, it looks like something I can make better, you know? And that was just like, when I read more into that, I'm like, oh yeah, well, I don't think that could have gone to the moon either.
I guess for me, the two sort of big ones that kicked this whole thing off would have been 9/11 and the moon landings, because they're the two sort of mainstream conspiracy theories, you know.
I guess so. I just came to
out there as conspiracy theories.
I just came to 9/11 media fakery way later. I had to see how they did control the scene in Boston before I could even imagine them faking 9/11.
What do you make of people questioning the cosmology of this?
I mean, I think that's great. I mean, because, you know, NASA takes things. I just haven't looked into it enough, so I can't really have, like, real researched opinion on that yet. So, I mean, I got to read Simon's book and look into that. And I don't believe in flat Earth, but I'm like, some of their stuff is interesting, and I'm not saying the Earth isn't flat. I'm just not taking a side on that, because I haven't done the research, because that's not my main interest, I guess, yet, looking at that, so.
That seems like a pretty wise position to take, I would say.
Yeah, right now I'm still kind of new to this. I'm just trying to, like, get more information, I guess.
And, of course, any information you do come across has to be scrutinized as well.
Yes, I've definitely learned that by going through all the other conspiracy stuff, like, on more mainstream things, on, you know, like, Reddit and other forums like that. how they don't really talk about media fakery that much on old events. They have their, all these other like shows and podcasts that they have like stuff on all the time. Like they, there's no way they can research enough to like fill up all that time weekly. So I mean, there's just so much misinformation out there. You just gotta look at everything.
I think that a lot of podcasts and, you know, alternative media outlets can get away with not really sticking to the point, but just entertaining people. So I mean, once people get into a click and they enjoy the company of a podcast and what someone has to say, it's very easy to get sucked into the drama that that creates.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I did look at UFOs briefly, and that was interesting, but I mean, that's obviously fake, I believe.
Well, I think it's there to lend credibility to the whole space concept. I mean, much the way, you know, NASA needed to travel to the moon to convince people that there was this vast space out there, or to convince us that we're all, you know, beings that evolved and are living on a rock. I think, you know, it's just all supporting narrative, really.
Yeah, I mean, I also enjoyed, like, stuff about ancient history, those kind of theories. Then now I'm looking into are ones where, I guess some of JLB stuff too, where he thinks stuff is younger and not real, and ancient, he doesn't believe in ancient and things like that. I find that really interesting.
Well, JLB is a pretty comprehensive researcher, and from what he's saying, he can't find much first-hand supporting evidence for a lot of the stories we're told about history, and I agree with him on that. And like things like war as well. I mean, there's one bit he does about you know, the stories we're told as children about war, and I can relate to that because JLB's here in Australia and so am I, and so our schooling was probably much of the same curriculum. And I mean, I remember getting told all those things as well. You know, that there were these two sides, and the brave Australians ran to certain death. They ran into machine gun fire, jumped over the top of the trenches and ran into machine gun fire valiantly because they knew they needed to do it for their country. And I look back at it now, I think, how ridiculous. Like, do I believe anyone on my level really ran into machine gun fire? Like, I know if I was there, I probably wouldn't be doing that.
Right. Well, I know some people don't believe anyone died in the wars, and I can't believe that yet, but I think a lot of it was fake.
Well, they also spin the story that, you know, on Christmas Day, the sides put down their guns and got together for Christmas lunch and played a game of soccer, you know. They were good chaps, and that's what you did in those days. You got on with your fellow man, and then they went back to fighting.
Yeah. I don't know how you could give so many people guns and like have so much propaganda about the war and not have any fighting. I mean, maybe there were small battles. I don't know. That's my granddad.
I think people die. There's a million reasons why one could die or one would die in war. I don't really have a problem with the concept of people dying during war, friendly fire, disease, accidents. And it's all because of the official declaration of going to war. You see, that's the way I look at it. So, yeah, people do die. I have no issues at all with that. People do die during war. They get hurt, maimed, injured, all these things. But I think the people that go to war and realize what's going on, they can't talk about it. They won't talk about it. And what are some of the things or some of the reasons why they don't want to talk about it? That's what's very interesting.
Well, I buy into that idea that post-traumatic stress is more the living with the lie of you may not have actually done anything as valiant as it's made out that you did.
Well,
I think JLB is right in his definition. War is fake by its definition. That the two opposing sides. I'm sure, yes, some people probably did die in affiliated incidents. You know, when you take a whole bunch of people, you send them overseas, I'm sure they do just ride around in tanks and have a good time. And sure, some people might die through some through accidents or whatever, but on the whole, I don't think by definition of what
war is. I don't think
is,
there's any... You know, that's why you got to be careful. I don't think there's any good time going to a war-like conflict environment. I don't think anyone should just minimize what's going on. And I do think people get in situations that sound reasonable where they do kill people. And once you killed somebody, there's no way you can be the same person after that, because you know the ramifications of doing something like that. It's life-changing forever. And I tend to buy some of the stories of conflict. I have no problem buying them, a lot of them.
What type of stories are you talking about?
Just some of the conflict stories I've heard about some of the people that have gone to Iraq, where they're literally taking over a country and occupying it. And I believe in the guerrilla warfare. I'm sure there are people that are displaced that want to get whoever's come into their area out. So I'm sure it's just no different than some of the gang warfare that goes on, say, in some of the tough cities. I'm sure that's real, too.
I think it was Dave J who said that once you realize the whole war itself is a hoax, then it only leaves you to deal with the day-to-day threats of, you know, being mugged in the street or something. I like his idea of that, because I think there is... Of course, there's always still a real threat day-to-day.
Well, I mean, in Iraq, they're kind of like police officers over there policing the place, so like that's kind of like the day-to-day, I guess, war you would have. Like, an occupying force kind of like being the police over there. I mean, they probably might have some small gunfights or something like that.
Well, I'm sure they've got some very powerful equipment, and things can go wrong, and things can go right. They can really point it at an enemy that they perceive as an enemy. If you're told that's the enemy, well, it's either you die or they die. I have no problem believing that there are conflicts.
And I think the soldiers also have more of the propaganda than ever anyone else. I mean, I have friends that joined. Everyone asked that was over there. They didn't actually shoot anyone, from what I could tell. But they play all the, you know, the Battlefield and Call of Duty and all that, and watch all the movies. So, like, there's all that propaganda, you know, for the war.
Oh, well, video games are just priming people for that instinct to go and do it in real
life. Right. I mean, so I'm sure, like, they'll get spooked or scared from something that happens over there and might start shooting. So, I mean, I think that happens. I just think it's more smaller scale, like, local incidents, not like some huge, like, war that's, like, between two countries fighting each other. Like, the whole Syria thing right now is a huge mess. I don't even understand what's going on. There's so many, like, fake, obviously fake things happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's better to fake it than to do it. It's better to simulate or describe a missile attack if the object is just to destroy buildings, do urban land clears, reconstruction, relocation, all those things. That is the ultimate goal. It is not to free the people necessarily.
Yeah, because I mean,
if they are being free, they will be freed in your country's image.
Right.
You will get your Home Depot and Walmart. You'll get all that when it's all done.
Yeah, because they have those fake gas attacks. Then they have like the ambassador talking about, oh, those are obviously fake. Why are we still going to war? Like those people and some generals saying that. But I'm like, but you're still saying the terrorists are real. In the war with Russia would still be real. So.
I think JLB is here.
Do you think most soldiers join for patriotic reasons or because there's a sort of a problem with the job market and it's a job security and a decent paycheck to go and serve you?
I would say after 9/11, there was a lot of patriotism. A lot of people I knew did that. But right now, I think it's mostly for college, getting paid college and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. It's a good gig. You get paid college, you get a job, connections.
If you buy into college, is very valuable. It's a good option for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, here in the job market, it's still valuable just to have that paper, even if you don't really learn anything.
Yeah, I think it's a big business, huge business. The military in the United States is their number one business.
I'm not university educated, but. It's still so common for me to have people suggest to me that I need to go to university to figure life out. Like, if I seem confused by all the psychology and a frustrated person in general.
Oh,
the amount of people that go, well, there's some people that know, I'm aware that I know, like, I deal with this stuff. I don't talk about it to them anymore. I learn my lesson the hard way. But they still know my kind of beliefs or have a suspicion. But it's very easy for them to tell you how university will fix all that once you go there and learn, you know, how life really works. True. I'm thinking these are...
This is some shady organization that charge you tens of thousands of dollars, and you go and waste the prime years of your life when you could be procreating or doing so many other things, and they keep you in a room and teach you their doctrine, and then they give you a little gift certificate at the end that's only, you know, only valuable to their subsidiaries in the giant corporate structure. So,
well, that stuff happens in college.
That's what it is.
Yes, I agree with you there. How old are you again, Bellicent, approximately?
27.
Yeah. Well, my mother, I'm 50, and my mother still says I should go back to school. So it's yeah, for what exactly? Yeah, I have a degree in fakeology now. I put 6 years.
The school of hard knocks.
That's a master's. That's a PhD rather. 6 years.
Yeah. And who's handing out pieces of paper for that? No one.
Well,
not redeemable now.
Yeah,
you should. I think you should make up some templates and start putting them out on the
website. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we should have, the No Agenda show has knighting. We should have some kind of baptism or award ceremony for sure.
I don't like kneeling down with a sword that close to my head. It's a bit weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I don't shave. I don't like that blade against my neck.
Did you say JLB had come in?
I saw him in the chat there, I think. He's muted right now, and he's now out. All right. Well, that's fine. Okay, Freya, so you've done a bumper. Freya, you've got verified status, as far as I can tell.
I started an interview, but you might want to carry on there.
No. I'm at work right now, so I'm just sort of dipping in and out. I can't do it properly, really. But yeah, go ahead, Velasid. You can carry on. Sorry.
I've run out of questions.
No, you can't run out of questions. There's lots to ask.
Ab drives a truck, Freya.
Okay.
Not similar to the one that was used in the hockey hoax, but that one was an older Peterbilt. I'm not sure they don't sell as many as they used to because the whole pollution controls that they slapped on the big trucks caused a lot of problems for existing manufacturers. Not everyone was able to get a system that worked, and if you couldn't get a system that worked to clean the exhaust, you didn't sell a truck. And I don't think Peterbilt has done too well. So that Peterbilt you saw in the truck in the collision, I think, is an older one for sure. And by older, I mean anything more than 5 years is a spent truck in terms of its normal life cycle.
Is that all you get out of them?
Well, that is the general idea when it comes to everything is about numbers now. Well, it always has been. So after 5 years, it starts to cost more than a new one would cost. So that is pretty much the point at which you get rid of it. If it's a fully employed truck, if it's sort of half employed, obviously you can go longer. But in general, 5 years is it. That's when the repairs overcome or pass or go higher than a new truck payment. 5 years or 1 million kilometers usually. At least
what kind of mileage do you rack up a week?
Well, I'm not a big out of towner. I stay closer to home because I don't like to go too far, but not too much.
Is that just because you're a family guy?
Yes, just like the cartoon.
It's
funny how you get we all get triggered by certain phrases just because of the media. It's just amazing how the brain works when you see your family.
You're an American
that damn cartoon. And I don't even watch the cartoon. I just know of it.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I'm just, my brain is just full of trigger phrases and words. Now, none of them are relevant today. None of them are recent. They're all old stuff, but that's how the brain works. I'm trying to get fakeologist to be a trigger word.
Well, you can't rely on your friend anymore, can you?
No. No, he's basically told me to stop all contact. That was his latest email. I said, that's fine. I'm not here to harass. And I think that some of these other truth seekers that are out harassing people, well, even if I was trying to tell you about the Lord coming down, I'm not sure I'd take that approach of screaming in your face. I don't think it works. I think it has the opposite effect. So that's why I'm suspicious of some of these people that start yelling at the... That's what they want. They want conflict with the crisis actor. If they get that, then they can use all their laws to shut people questioning down, really. That's what I look at it.
So do you think if you weren't playing up to that kind of conspiracy theorist bit piece they wanted you for, maybe that's not working out for them?
Well, I'm not going to go out screaming and yelling at people. I'm being just the way I be with everybody. I'd just be calm and these are my beliefs. If you don't like them, go away. You don't have to read them.
No, I probably should take a leaf out of that book. I find it can be, when you do get into these conversations, it can turn heated very quick because you're very attached to your beliefs and, you know, well, it takes a cool, calm mind to just slow down and go, wait a minute, I don't need to be losing my cool over
the way I look at it is this, and this is how I know the hockey hoax is huge. They've convinced people with social media pressures, which is just the modern form of peer pressure, to put a hockey stick outside their house with the green tape on it. And I have two family members that have done that. It's literally waving a flag saying, I believe, to me.
Yeah.
And it's almost confrontational in my mind. I'm trying to ignore it, and I haven't brought it up. But if I was easily triggered, then I would call, then that would trigger me to just go off on it. And I actually have ignored it. But,
what do you think is the motive behind getting people, you know, the overlay on Facebook page or have them put a hockey stick out or something?
I think it's just to confirm a belief system. And, I made the mistake when I first moved to a neighborhood to put up a political sign when we had an election. Because I always wanted to have a house. It was my first house, my only house, where I could put up a sign announcing my beliefs in whatever party it was. And I really don't think that was a good idea. Because what that does is it almost invites confrontation. Oh, you're this color, you see.
Yeah.
Think this way. So now, anyone who wants to know who you are just takes a subset of beliefs that they've been told to by the media. So I'm instantly identifiable. It's an instant mark on me. So you put this color in front of your house on a sign. You're so... And putting the sign physically out there already means you're one step above the average person in terms of fanaticism.
Yeah, it's putting your belief into action in the real world by taking action rather than just being a passive.
Yeah, consumer. It's a very passive aggressive thing, just putting out a sign. So it just automatically gives you a whole set of values that you may not have, but you have to defend. And it just invites conflict. That's all. So I don't do that anymore. And
I'm sure you can see beyond the political dichotomy anyway, so there'd be no point for people like us going and putting signs in the street.
But the hockey stick is the same thing. It's a mark of solidarity. I gotta just give me a minute.
Do you think local elections are controlled the same way as the national ones, or like those are still like somewhat real?
How local do you mean?
I guess like city.
So I know, like, what we have here in Australia, we have three levels of governments. You have, like, your national federal government, and you have state governments. And remember, we're not like the US where we're divided up into, you know, 50 states. We've just got a few. And then on the low part of the totem pole, you've got, you know, local governments, which just deal with, you know, rubbish collection and things like that, keeping the streets clean. I think most of the local stuff are probably just useful idiots. They're not really in charge of that much that they would need to be concerned about. They're people who can see a decent pay packet, and they like the idea of being somewhat of a celebrity and being, you know, adored for their role in society. I know a few people that are local members of parliament in local government. And they're perfectly nice people who just believe in their community. And I think that's probably, if you're going to work in government or in politics, that's probably the place to be, because you probably can affect things at a local level if you're passionate about your community. But I think once you get to state or federal level, I think they're all people that are somewhat more aware of how the system works, and they're certainly selling out, you know, for bigger money. Like we've had a state premier here in New South Wales, which is where I am, and he had this whole thing. He changed a whole bunch of laws and then had this whole thing about how his sister had cancer or something and he had to resign. And everyone's like, oh, you know, he's got to resign. That's a shame. And then within 2 months, he was appointed like CEO of one of the major banks here in Australia. And goodness knows how much money he earns not to show up to work. So someone like him sort of knows they've got to go carry out certain laws, make a few changes, and then they get rewarded once they retire into the corporate sector, just to live out their days on a decent paycheck. But I think there's something to the fact that you couldn't have everyone this stuff. You know, if everyone was in on the joke, it would come out. People would talk about it more freely. But I think for the most part, people are compartmentalized. They might know some things about the area they work in, but they're not really aware of the bigger picture, or that, you know, a whole bunch of stuff could be completely fake. You know, I think most people who do figure it out, if they're going to go and you know, accept a price for what they want to do, they just get on with it. You know, you don't go around talking about the joke or laughing about it behind closed doors. That would just be, you know, silly, because you never know who knows what you know. So
yes, that makes sense.
I don't have all the answers. I'm just saying what I know here in Australia from the way our government works. That's my opinion on it. I mean, most people aren't too bright. They went through the same schools that I did, you know. So if we go back over your awakening journey, you had a visit and you could see through costume design that things didn't quite appear what they were as far as NASA was concerned.
Yeah, I mean, that was just on the lunar lander specifically, because it does terrible. But
what do you think about the notion that maybe, like, you've seen high-def photos of the LEM moon lander, right?
Yes.
Right. Now, most conspiracy theorists in the classical sense are busy looking at crosshairs in the camera, the good old Hasselblad, or they're concerned with the fact that there's not enough footprint in the moon dust or something. What do you think about the fact that maybe some of this stuff was designed to look stupid by intent?
I mean, I don't know if they would do that on purpose. I mean, I would say it'd be more like kind of believe that they just lazy or strapped for time on some of it, possibly.
Okay, now with the Twin Towers, for example, they were put up 33 years before they came down. And there's reason to believe that maybe no one ever inhabited those buildings. They were just put up symbolically with the intent of coming down. So we know these people have big enough budgets and can plan well ahead of what they plan to be doing symbolically or whatever.
They did have the restaurant for sure that you could go to in, like, the tourist part. And I think that they probably had possibly some people until that first terrorist attack and then got rid of most of them. I know you could go to the building in the viewport as a tourist, though. I was up there, I believe, when I was a kid at one point.
Sorry, can you just repeat that? What are you talking about?
I mean, if the Twin Towers, they have a restaurant that people go to.
Yeah.
You could go to that. Like, people went to that. It wasn't like the empty forehead.
Yeah, but you realize they could just have, you know, a restaurant at the top of it.
Yeah.
And everyone hops in the lift, they go up, they don't really need to see anything in the middle.
Yeah, I've also read.
It makes sense.
That the fact that they did have that train station there, so it looked busy, like people were coming and going. So that's pretty believable to me. Or they had, like, some companies in on it, you know, had an office there, so maybe some workers that they just got rid of the day of just to make it look somewhat busy beforehand. But, I mean, who's really checking? Like, could have been completely empty.
These workers would have to be somewhat in on it.
I wonder why
they got fired the day before.
One of the buildings on, like, Building 7 supposedly had, like, Secret Service or SEC office and, you know, stuff like that. So, like,
yeah, but what is that even? Does that organization, like, it's easy to say, yeah, Secret Service is based there, but do you even need to really have Secret Service? You could just say, yeah, Secret Service are there.
I mean, I'm just saying it's like a government agency that would probably be in on it. If, you know, I don't know. missing like a lot of those companies probably that were still there, like were connected. I mean, I was reading like before I got into September Clues that one of the companies that used to supposedly based in Twin Towers had hired a rush construction job of a new like office building. So like they knew they were moving out. And I haven't looked more into that, so I haven't verified it completely, but you know, I don't know. I just think that like they probably just did have some people in there at the time to make it look busy. But it could have been empty because I didn't go on a personal check. But I would think they would want some like security guards there and maybe some office workers coming and going.
No, I agree. There probably were some people coming and going. If you can think of this analogy, right, we believe we interpret the world the way it is. Because we drive around, it's like, imagine you're at street level, you can drive around in your car on the streets, right? And you have this idea that you know the suburbs and you know the place you live. But really, you don't ever go into every house, do you? Or go into every backyard and see. So we have this perception that we've discovered and conquered the area around us. But really, we're just traveling in small passageways. You know, we don't really see what's behind the scenes, what's behind the facade. So it's very easy to actually just have a few small organizations that carry off the appearance of a busy building when really most of it could be completely, you know, empty and have no one in it at all. You know, those things are behind locked doors. Who's going to have a check?
I mean, especially after that first attack, they had ample time to clear out, you know, most real businesses if there was any beforehand.
Mm.
I mean, I'm sure they would probably want to make some rent money off 30 years, tear it down, but...
Well, but you rent money, what do you need? Like, the money's all made up anyway. There's no... These people... The people who run this show do not need to be worried about the money. That's an endless resource. They can come up whatever they like with that.
It's the very top of the pyramid, I'm sure, but...
yeah.
I'm sure they use, like, some of these other things to pay off everyone else lower down. I mean, everyone can't be getting the free money, so... Yeah.
And what do you think will be your next few stepping stones? What things do you want to focus on in the near future?
I mean, the small media hoaxes are always interesting and fun to analyze and look at, but I'd rather look at more maybe ancient history or the big picture. And other than that, I just need to work on just not even fakeology, just more personal improvement, like exercising, working on personal projects, stuff like that. You know, like, learn everything is fake, move more out of my life, stuff like that.
Yep. Is there any, through your journey that you've known in real life that you've been able to talk to this about, or is there anyone you've tried to share it with and they've not quite appreciated what you had to tell them?
Sure, some of my family. I mean, my brother thinks Sandy Hook is fake now, but isn't a lot of other hoaxes. And that's fine. Just some internet friends. Shared some stuff with. And they're open to looking into different things. Like, recently some people were talking about World War III, and I'm like, why do you think nukes are real? And I'm like, look at some of the nuke footage, and then they're like, well, that does look pretty fake. But, I mean, that doesn't prove it to them, but, like, they have that idea in their mind that maybe nukes aren't real.
Hmm. I've done the moon land a bit with a few people. I've pulled up the high-res photo and gone... Like, I just search, NASA moon land or whatever, high def, something like that. And, two people I've shown that to, I've just shown them it and said, you know, like, just look at this for a while. Just sit and stare at it and, absorb it and, you know, and I've done the spiel about, you know, most people are focused on, you know, crosshairs in the camera or dust or whatever. But just look at what you're looking at here and think about if you think that really flew anywhere. And, usually the first reaction is to actually go to the search bar and then type official NASA moon lander. Because they look at that and go, oh, what, you know, you haven't searched correctly. You've pulled up some funny thing, which shows that they do actually agree that what they're looking at probably isn't real. But it's hard to reconcile in their mind because it has such a knock-on effect with so many of the things that you've been told about that, that it could all just be a bit of a facade.
Right. I've noticed some people bring up flat Earth. Tried to talk to them about anything about space being fake.
Mm. That's a very divisive topic, that one.
Right, I mean, there's so much like good NASA fakery done by Flat Earth people that I wish it would be separate. just having the Asa figure in there.
Yeah.
Researching.
I got into Flat Earth a few years back when it sort of first started becoming a thing, because once you're in this mode of discovery and you're starting to realize that you haven't exactly been told the truth and all this NASA stuff seems fake, it seems like sort of the next logical stepping stone. Well, what are they hiding with that? And it just took a while to step back and go, okay, well, you don't have to get on the bandwagon of everything just because the content seems compelling and it has compelling music and it pulls at your heartstrings. You know, you need to, I've learned to be a bit more objective and sort of scrutinize things to a new level. And that's been quite refreshing to think of it that way. And sometimes accept that you don't even have to hold a belief. Sometimes there's just things you don't know, and maybe there's more important stuff that I can be learning about how the system works here on Earth day to day that can help me live my life better, rather than worrying about some great truth I have to share with everyone because it's going to make their lives better.
So what are you interested in researching?
Oh, I haven't done much research lately. I've sort of... this whole thing's been pretty much the last 2 years for me. Like, before that, I didn't really give credence to any of this stuff. It's only in the last 2 years I've would call myself a skeptic and a fakeologist and actually getting into the whole conspiracy realm. And I mean, I've learned so many different things that now I don't really absorb the news. I don't worry about day-to-day small fake events. I don't know. I'm not really looking for the next phenomenon either. I'm not waiting day to day for some amazing video to come out to tell me what the truth is. So I've gotten a bit past that, and I just sort of am focused day to day on living my life and trying to develop some sort of framework in my head for how I should be living and how I should treat people, rather than something I can believe in that doesn't really improve my life. It's just a belief, you know. Like, I can believe that it's flat, but it doesn't. You know, that's just in my head. And I'm not convincing anyone else of it. So what purpose does it serve but for me to have some superiority complex that I know the truth? And I don't know the truth. No one knows the truth. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm also at that point where, like, I need to figure out how this fits into my life and how to, like, just live my life with this new knowledge.
Well, it's certainly a lot to take on. And as JLB has pointed out to me, you're familiar with the Matrix, right?
Yes.
Do you know the character Cypher?
Yeah, he wants to go back into the Matrix.
Yeah, and he sells out, and he's treated like the asshole, the evil guy of the movie who sold out his friends because he just wanted to go back into the Matrix. And I didn't get what John LeBon was getting at when he first started talking about that, but since I had time, as with most ideas you get presented in this realm, it takes time to sit with it. You don't immediately see Flat Earth and jump on board. It takes time to absorb, to go around in the world and observe what you're being told and see if it really rings true or if there's any credence to it. So once I had some time to sit and focus on this Cypher character, it started to really make me question if I was better off with all these beliefs, if it was really making my life better. Like, that meant there was more friction with people around me because even though I wasn't talking to them about this stuff, it meant that I sort of saw their behaviours. Stupid. I have friends who sit in front of the TV and believe everything they see on the news, and they get outraged over every little event that comes along. And it's dismal. I can't stand it. You know, it's you feel like
you really want to butt in, but then
you know you shouldn't do that. But you've got to live with the fact that people want to believe these stories, and it's not something you really hear about. Because I've got plenty of friends, like with the whole, I don't know if you're aware of this whole cricket scandal that happened here in Australia with people cheating in cricket.
Oh,
I'm not a sports fan. I don't take any interest in cricket, but the amount of people that want to tell me and share their opinion about what happened and the way it should be, and I'm just like, who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. Who knows if it's staged or what the hell's going on, but it has no impact on their life whatsoever, apart from being able to vent and be angry about something and let off a bit of steam. And I start to see JLB's point that maybe that's good for them. Maybe they need to let off some steam and have something to be angry at. And maybe it's a good thing if they're angry at something that's not real. They're just a fictional boogeyman that they can release their frustration on, rather than doing it in the real world. And I can see how maybe the controllers of this realm at the higher level are putting that stuff there for us to live out our little fantasies and anger and happiness and everything. Because you need the ups and downs in life, you know.
Right, I mean, I think we get enough real ups and downs of life. We wouldn't really need acorns. And so many of these events are like beer beats that they're giving us that aren't real. So I don't think it's ever a good thing personally, but I can kind of see what he's trying to talk about there.
Yeah, but your life doesn't, like, there are ups and downs, but for the most part, it's somewhat pleasing to know that there is at least some sort of, you know, it makes me think of womb, because you know how Matrix is, means womb, right? So to me, it's like they're giving us this cozy little shell of beliefs to live in to accentuate our days a bit. Otherwise, we'd just be on the hamster wheel completely bored. You know? Does it really, like, I suppose there is some mental harm to believing that people died, and that I think Dave J's onto a point with that. But, yeah, there are some of us who can see it for what it is and sit back and, you know, we can know it's not real. We don't have to believe in it. But we certainly don't need to butt in and try and convince other people of it if it's going to cause them to have those feelings that maybe they just want to be back in the Matrix like Cypher.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think there's, like, other ways to blow steam. Like, I definitely blow steam with video games and just maybe having some drinks. But I just don't really like some, like, the fear-based stuff with, like, disease scares or stuff like that comes out every year or two.
Yes, well, it's flu season and you've got to go get your flu. You should go and let a university-trained expert stick a substance in your arm that you don't actually know what it does. That's a good idea. And you'll be protected from maybe a week of cough or cold.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how that actually works, so like, it's a huge guessing game with that if you get the correct flu virus.
Well, here in Australia, they're telling everyone that you need to go and get twice as much and you need to get it earlier because last year it wasn't effective. So all the elderly and children, the people who they say are most at risk, they're suggesting that you should go and get twice as much earlier than you normally would just to be safe. And most people go and do it. They do not think that grabbing a foreign substance and sticking it in your body is a weird thing to do.
I think what they do with the vaccines is they, at least the propaganda is they, and this works with all of this stuff, is they get these guys in alternative media to sort of point out the problem, but then they'll exaggerate the line with all of it. You know, like they did this in World War II where they set up radio stations. And they're phony radio stations, like in Japan, they'd set up phony Japanese radio stations to make the hardline Japanese people sound like buffoons. And they do this with anti-vaxxer stuff. Like, oftentimes they get, like, celebrities to get behind it so that they can be, like, straw men.
Oh, right, and there's that documentary about it, Vax, too.
So the kind of the controlled opposition narrative.
Yeah, it's like you see a lot of anti-vaxxer stuff sometimes on there, on the internet and whatever, and it's like filled with like, you know, pictures of skulls and babies getting shot with needles and shit that looks really scary with chemtrails mixed in it. It's, you know, for normal people, they look at that and they're like, oh, no, I'm going to look into this shit.
Right, I mean, like, not getting a flu vaccine is still, like, okay, but, like, if you don't get your children vaccinated, like, they think you're, like, crazy.
Well, here, the mainstream media's whole shtick that they do is that, like, I've heard it several times, they say, you know, you can't just go believing that kooky stuff on the internet, or they peg the anti-vaxxer as someone who just read a bit too much on the internet and believes everything they hear, and they're foolish for doing that.
Yeah.
So, where was I going with that? but interestingly, I think the statistics show that the wealthier parts of town in each capital city are the ones where people do not vaccinate. And it's starting to become apparent because the government is trying to crack down on welfare by saying that you're not entitled to welfare payments unless your children are vaccinated. So, they're putting a financial incentive behind agreeing to have your children vaccinated, which most people are too stupid to even realize the mechanics of that and just go ahead and do it because they want the money.
Right, I mean, it's very hard.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dreams, I have a
plan. Yes, you're listening to the Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com, and that was Ab there just soliciting for donations. And if you feel that you've gotten value from this site, I would encourage you to go and flick him over some coin. It's certainly a place where you can hear a lot of interesting people talk about a lot of interesting subjects. But right now, I'm in the live stream. My name is Velocet, and I'm here with Freya and Taste of Freedom, who Taste of Freedom I have not met before. Where are you based?
I'm based just out of Boston.
Okay. Have you been on Fakeologist long?
I've been on for a few weeks.
Okay. So you're a bit of a newbie.
I've been listening for a while. Since like 2015 or so.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've only been on here for about 6 months. I wasn't completely aware of it. I was aware of this thing called Fakeologist, but I never really realized it was its own little community of people that you could get involved with. And I'm glad I'm here, because it's certainly good to have some people to talk to that seem to be aware of some of this stuff that we're aware of.
Yeah, it's like it's strange, like the way they break up conspiracy stuff sometimes, because we're like the everything is fake crowd, apparently. Like, that's what they call fakeologists and some of the other ones that say that everything's fake, like news stories.
There does seem to be a bit of a hard line that it's fake. I'm not so sure that's really the way it is. I certainly think the media lies a lot to us.
Yeah, no, the media likes to put us in that category, I suppose, is that, you know, they're like the media fakery stuff is just another kooky conspiracy thing that is right out there with lizard people and fucking flat earth and all that.
Mm.
And, I mean, there's flat earthers on fakeologists, but I mean, I personally think it's a psyop.
What do you think? Credit should be given to the heliocentric model that the authorities report to us?
No, I think that's probably a lie or a hoax or something. There's probably something to that. Like, but, you know, this idea, like, jumping right to the Earth is flat is probably not a good idea. Like, I saw one video that made me start to question stuff, but it was like, you know, like, it's an obvious question. Like, if we come out of the Big Bang, and we just had, like, over last summer, there was a solar eclipse. Like, okay, so how's the moon perfectly going to line up with the sun? Like, if it's all just random, like, that's a pretty good question, I'd say, you know, because it looks like clockwork to me.
Well, the heliocentric model is just a model to explain what we can observe, and it does that.
But it's all tied in with this, like, Big Bang theory and evolution and all this other BS.
Yes, well, we're 97% related genetically to chimpanzees, so of course we must have come from them. It couldn't just be that we're 97% similar because we happen to kind of look similar and have similar traits, you know, physically.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
You don't find, like, half-developed ape monkey men walking around. It's just a way of inventing racism, honestly.
I mean, haven't you looked at racism?
It's so funny that, what? Well, they're like, oh, black people are less evolved than white people because they're, you know, they're ape monkey people. That was the whole idea when they came up with that shit.
Mm.
And it's so funny now that you have, like, leftists saying, oh, I believe in science and I'm not racist. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Your fucking philosophy on evolution is racist. That's where its fucking roots are. You know, so it's like just this big, huge contradiction.
Mm.
And it's like, well,
I think in general, people of darker skin do test for lower intelligence, but it's all too common to have some sort of leftist liberal person try to argue back to you that, oh, well, they aren't afforded the same opportunities. They're treated as lesser beings in our society, and they don't have the opportunity to be as smart. And if we all had the same books in school and we didn't have drugs, the world would be a better place and we'd all be equal. And I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe yeah, people mean, look know. Very different and are very different because they are very different.
Yeah, it's still like people are people. Like you can have a child with somebody of a completely different race. You can't do that with a monkey. So it's yeah, like, well, obviously there's
evolution. It's the whole missing link thing, isn't it? That you know, somehow some species had morphed, but they just happened to be a male and female have the same morph, so that they could reproduce another morph, and then it would have to have someone to mate with. It seems a bit too far fetched statistically.
Yeah.
But then again, over billions of years, we're always given these big numbers to sort of blow out, you know, like the same with space. Well, you can't possibly imagine it because it's infinite. Like, they just throw this huge number at you, so you can't even comprehend a timeline for how this stuff works. And it's the same with evolution. Oh, it was billions of years it happened. That's why it worked, because it was over billions of years, and you can't comprehend that.
Yeah, it's like, where do they even get these numbers? Like, you know, like this idea, like they get the rocks from Stonehenge or something, and they have, like, what do they call that? The science of, like, rocks or whatever. They did it with Mars, too. They had their little rover go up there, and they're like, oh.
Carbon dating and things like that.
Yeah, carbon dating, yeah. They're doing.
I don't think they can carbon date rocks because it doesn't have carbon in it.
It's some made-up science, honestly. It's like, and they cover up the real science sometimes, I think, like, with doing the what am I talking about the ice cap samples, like you can figure out like what the temperature of the earth was and all that. I think that's real, but they don't really talk about it in the mainstream because that kind of debunks their climate change theories.
But so do you think that drilling down and taking samples from deeper in the earth allow you to determine, like, what those samples are coming from deeper in the earth? Does that mean they were from an earlier time? Like, do the two necessarily correlate?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I haven't really looked into it like that much. I don't really have that much of a handle on it. I just kind of think about it like, well, why do they dismiss these studies up in Greenland when it doesn't fit their narrative, and then they, like, it fits their narrative perfectly with this carbon dating shit.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you know, you can figure out how old rocks are on Mars by sending a rover up there. Like, I don't know, that sounds like science fiction.
Well, a lot of what we presented, when you look skeptically at it, seems like a cartoon, almost like science fiction.
I mean, it seems like a cartoon, and it's like, and then you look into it, and like some of these flat earthers, like that Jaronism actually put out a decent video on the Mars rover where he found all the NASA Mars stuff up on an island.
He compared it to Devon Island in Greenland and showed how it was the same rock formations. And there was actually a rat in one of those photos that was native to that island.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, it's a big joke. Like, you can look it up right there on Google. Like, I went and looked it up. And it's like, well, he wasn't lying in the video. At least in that particular video.
Yeah, and they even tell you they test the rover there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the nature of a drill, though, isn't it? Sort of simulated in a environment, but then often the drills are portrayed as the real thing. It's no different with a Mars lander. You know, you do it simulated and say it's simulation, and then you use the material you generate from that to say it's real, and most people don't question it because it was on the television or it was on Facebook or wherever they get the information from.
Yeah, I posted a couple of videos like that in the live stream chat, like the stuff at Langley Research Center, where the guy's like suspended on wires and he's jumping. And it's like, well, we have mathematically determined this is the height that the guy's going to get to when he's on the moon, because we've mathematically determined the size of the moon and what the gravity's going to be. And so you see these videos and it's like, it doesn't look that much different than what we saw, only without the visible wires. You know, they probably did something a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of stuff that is like simulation stuff that looks real, or like looks like what they presented as real for the actual moon landings.
So, how old are you at the?
I'm 34.
And when did your little awakening journey begin?
I think I've always been sort of into this kind of stuff. It took me a while to really acknowledge the no planes thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was like, really? Like, and then I was like, oh yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, just one day it was just like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, like, how does an aluminum plane, like, you know, fly into a building made out of steel and just disappear in there? Like, then it was just like, oh, that, there's like a whole other level of media fakery that I was kind of just ignoring.
Yeah. I was saying to Freya earlier, sort of, like, even at a younger age, I was always sort of aware of the whole moon landing and 9/11 thing. Like, I was only 11 years old when 9/11 happened, so I don't have a good recollection of, you know, the way things were at the time. Someone who's a bit older might, you know, be a bit more conscious about.
Yeah,
but for me, those are things that I wasn't there for the moon landings, and I didn't really recall much about 9/11, so I'd only ever had sort of this conspiracy theory to go off, but that was more in the belief that, yeah, George Bush was all behind this for oil money, and, you know, goodness knows why there was a conspiracy theory surrounding the moon. You could never have extended your mind to believe, you know, that maybe it was to prop up this science fiction story of space. But, yeah, I'd sort of always been aware of these surface things, but I'd never really paid attention to it. They were just sort of things that were there. I was like, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Who really knows? It doesn't really affect me, though. And then I think once you sort of start to see how all these things fit together, and there's a realm of different theories out there that actually kind of interlock into this overarching narrative, it starts to become a lot more apparent to you. And that's when I got involved with it a few years back. So would you say that, you know, when sort of anti-government sentiment, that you sort of didn't really see the need for that?
For all the anti-government sentiment? What do you mean? Say that again.
I mean, from a younger age, before you really started to get into the deeper conspiracy realm, do you think there was sort of a sort of dissatisfaction with society in general?
I kind of just saw a lot of dysfunction around me, honestly. I didn't like it.
Mm. Well,
I thought the concept of school was dysfunctional. I didn't like what it was doing to, like, my fellow classmates. I thought, wow, they're like, you know, I noticed that, like, older generations were different than my generation, and that was something that kind of made me disturbed, where it was like, my generation is, like, more well-behaved, quote-unquote, and they're all over us. They're like flies on shit. And I was like, this is weird. This is not normal. Like, and, like, you know, everyone around me seemed like they're anxiety-ridden and shit. I'm like, you know, and then you have this electronic interference everywhere with TVs and video games and shit. And I was like, I was immersed in all that. And I thought, yeah, this isn't normal, even though I was immersed in it.
Mm.
And so it was funny, like, when I started looking into stuff like John Taylor Gatto, he would say stuff like, school is designed to drive people crazy. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much what it is, isn't it? Like, it's designed to drive people nuts. You know, this
well, as history that's given to you for you to send your children to be educated on the world, why would that ever be a bad thing? They're obviously going to tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, the whole Bell thing is just get obedient workers and Pavlov's dog kind of thing. And, you know, there's always that thing when you're talking in class and then you come up against the invisible wall. Where it's like, suddenly it's like, oh, this is all about learning and stuff. Oh, don't talk about that, Jimmy. Or whatever, you know?
Mm.
Like, Jimmy or Timmy or whatever the fuck, you know? Like, just sit there and fucking behave was the attitude. And I was like, yeah, like, this is really what it is, isn't it? It's obedience. And then, like, how do you send your kids off to strangers to be raised like that? And I always thought that was dysfunctional. I didn't like it at all. Like, I wasn't like, I looked into, like, the JFK assassination when I was in high school. I even wrote a paper on it. At the time, I concluded that the CIA had killed him.
Mm. That's interesting you say that, because also it was part of our curriculum in school. I had to write something similar.
Oh, it's funny, because the teacher was a younger teacher, and apparently you really weren't supposed to write about the JFK assassination for that particular paper. He didn't want that, the head of the history department didn't want anybody writing about that. And that was kind of funny. But he let me write it. He didn't know, and I got a good grade on it.
What do you think, AFK?
Seems like, well, maybe Dave J is right on that one. He's probably just a dummy in the car or something. And they did it with multiple takes.
Yep. See, I think there's a general, the sort of public mainstream conspiracy theory is that the CIA took him out. Like every, same as like moon landings or any of these, there's always this sub narrative. There's like a surface level conspiracy for more people to buy into as long as it keeps them on that level.
I think there was something weird about the JFK assassination because of the variety of conspiracy theories attached to it.
Yeah, but there are all these sub-narratives that keep you tied up thinking about them when really...
That's what I talked about in the paper was like, okay, you got Castro, you got the Teamsters, you got this whole idea that the CIA killed him somehow, and then you have these sub-conspiracies about that, like with MKUltra, mind-controlled assassins.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And, but the one conspiracy they don't talk about is the fakery side. I never even saw anything on that when I was looking into it. And it was like, oh, that's an obvious one.
Yeah, I think what JFK was known for before the assassination was speaking up about secret societies. Like, he has a few famous speeches where he points out how the world's run by secret societies and things like that. And a lot of people get on board with that and go, yeah, you tell it as it is, JFK. You're going to save everything, right? And then he gets assassinated. So what does that do to the public mind that this savior comes along who's going to tell it as it is and stand up for the people, and then he disappears, supposedly assassinated by the CIA or some loose cannon like Lee Harvey Oswald. It just serves to teach the population that
psychologically damaging for people.
Yes, exactly. Things aren't going to change. We take down the people that are promising change. And I think that's more the psychological motivation of doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, JFK, he commissioned a film, I believe. It was 6 Days in May or something.
I'm not familiar with it.
I'll post it. I'll do a search on it and post it.
So I think that JFK quote is, like, misquoted a lot. Like, I think the whole one quote, like, what he's talking about in his speech isn't really about secret societies. It's about, like, communism or something.
7 Days in May.
So you would say that secret society, he's talking more about literal war and things going on, not what conspiracy theorists would like to use it for.
Right. I mean, I've heard that. That's been misquoted a lot. But, I mean, but everyone just uses it as like, oh, yeah, he was talking about, like, the Illuminati or something. I doubt that, but I mean, it sounds good for theories.
So JFK was involved with this movie, right? It says, United States military's leaders plot to overthrow the president because he supports a nuclear disarmament treaty and they fear a Soviet attack. Well, that sounds awfully familiar. You know, you can just, like, rearrange it with the JFK assassination and you get, like, oh, people saying he's trying to end the Vietnam War or he's trying to go after the bankers or whatever the fuck. And they took him out.
But, well, yeah. we know to those heights without kissing the right asses and knowing what their role is. So.
It's like this simulacra with the movie. It's like the movie is like a predictive programming thing. It's like, what was this, made in 1964? When was the assassination?
Ooh, paper on it. I should be able to recall that. Was it 71 or was it earlier?
It was earlier. I think it was 60.
69, something like that.
Moon landing was 67, so that's the earlier than that.
Anyway, at the conclusion of my paper, I had to write the general thing that we're being told or coerced to conclude is that, you know, we'll never know. You know, there was a magic bullet theory and this guy Lee Harvey Oswald, blah, 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 and we'll never know. Books will never be opened. That's what you come away from school being told, basically.
Yeah, that is the basic working idea that they give you is that, like, nothing, like, you can't, there's no way that you can figure anything out and there's no truth in the world.
Yep, and you get top marks for it.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it funny how they spin Animal Farm where they say that, like, Trotsky kind of is like a good guy? I don't know if you ever were taught that in school, but they always spin Animal Farm in that way where they make one of the pigs that was, like, Trotsky-ish, and make him seem like the good guy.
Okay. I never did Animal Farm school. I'll have to go and have a look at that one.
I just don't remember enough about what you told me about Animal Farm.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I don't know if it's Lenin or Trotsky that they try to make look like a good guy in that. But that's what we were taught in school, was like, you know, like I think it was actually they try to glorify Lenin, at least the way they frame Animal Farm in the schools.
Mm.
And, like, that's kind of funny, where they're like, oh, Stalin was the bad guy, but, you know, Lenin, he had the right idea, kind of thing.
Well, there's always been that there's been a rise in, well, I don't know if it actually has been a rise, but I mean, I know people who consider themselves communists because they see a lot of merit in that value system. That's just another thing to buy into, really. But yeah,
I mean, I think it's like this sort
people painted as heroes.
But you notice that the people that are doing that, they're wearing masks. There's this like kind of pathetic side to them, and it's self hatred. I don't know what it is. It's weird. It's like the Antifa people wearing the masks. Their excuse is that it's dangerous to show our faces and stuff. And I'm like, oh well, the intelligence agencies all know who you are. Like, who fuck are you kidding? And, like, you know, is it really about that? Or is it, like, some kind of weird psychological thing where they're waving around the Soviet flag, but they're kind of, like, almost kind of pathetically doing it, and they know it's pathetic?
It's yeah,
really
but
it's really weird.
People are also usually, I think, sort of from the underclass who would benefit from a system changing in their favor, where, like in the Western world, we're usually in a capitalist society and work equals reward most of the time, you know, which isn't a bad system, really.
Well, it's like, yeah, I think there's a sort of, it also goes along with this whole idea of nihilism that's being promoted, the death of God, scientism. So they don't believe that, you know, people can be trusted, and there's this whole mantra that goes along with it, and even if it doesn't make any sense. Like, they're like, people can't be trusted, but we need to put these, like, you know, these technocrats in charge, and they'll regulate everything nicely. You know, just put Bernie Sanders out there, and he'll be good. You know, like, I think that's, like, kind of just this attitude that, like, you know, you can make the world perfect. Just the older people need to just die. Like, that's what I hear a lot of younger people saying. Like, it's not really, like, all that rational. They're all...
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I'm familiar with that idea. And, I can't say I'd like know a heaps of people that would say that. But I think, yeah, I've heard that sentiment before in people, you know, around my age or younger than me, that somehow... because we're young, we understand it so much better, and it'll just be all good once a few people kick the bucket, you know?
Well, I think they can kind of see, like, all the same politicians keep doing the same shit all the time, and, like, they don't realize why, I guess, yet. They just see that as the problem.
Yeah, but it's funny that people of an older seem to have been taken on a whole life. Politicians going to make a big change, and it never comes. They don't seem any the wiser to it.
Yeah, because, well, they're isolated, and their view of the world is more through the computer screen or through the iPhone or through the artificial education system. So they get taught these things, and then they see all this dysfunction in the world, and they think, oh, yeah, well, you know, we've got a better idea on it, and they're just being taken advantage of. So they really just don't have any conception of how the real world even works, because, you know, with all this 9/11 kind of stuff, they put cameras in the schools, they're always being monitored by adults, and so they really have no idea how the world actually works. They don't navigate it on their own. They've always been within a system that seems to,
you know, reaffirm their beliefs about communism and whatever, because that's what school is anyways. It's like communism. I mean, if you think about it, like the 6 hours that you're there every day, it's like some communal ritual. You know, and they,
well, you wear a uniform that you're all equal. No one gets to flash wealth or status through what they wear. You're all on equal pegging.
Schools, but
oh yeah, that's true. I mean, we just have uniforms here in Australia.
In private schools, we get that.
Yeah, that's true. It's still like a communal thing, though, even with the capitalist sort of spin on it. And, you know, it really is just a transition into this more everything is the same, everyone is the same, and blah, blah, blah.
Hmm. Anyway, it's getting kind of late, guys. We've clicked over past midnight where I am. Well, it's already 12:30. Are you guys going to continue chatting?
I'll probably head on out. It's been a nice long talk.
Yeah, I forget what time I came in, but I've heard a few people have been here a fair while. I didn't intend to stay this long, but once Ab got in here and we started having a good chat, it was very easy to get carried away. But just to wrap up, this is the Fakeologist Audio Chat. It's currently 12:30 where I am. I've been here with Freya and Taste of Freedom. It was very nice talking to you guys. And I hope to see you around again soon, and we can do a bit more of this. But that's it for tonight.
All right.
Have a good one. See ya.
See ya.
Hello, this is Ponoku from Honolulu, Hawaii, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.